everybody. It's the best show. What's up? It's me, Tom, the host of tonight's episode. Oh, boy, we got a great show for you tonight. Look out. Look out. We got Mary Houlihan's going to be here. Then we got Andy Zax. Our friend Andy Zax is going to be here. And then maybe even another person is stopping by. We'll see about that. That could be fun. And just all sorts of... Yeah, it's going to be great. So just sit back, relax, have a good time, have some fun, and let the best show do what it does. Right? That's how we do it.
Hi, I'm Chuck Woolery, and I'm here to talk to you about catheters. Let me tell you why.
201-332-3484.
I've been a part of some life-changing moments.
That's it. You got it.
Say, but I didn't mean it.
Doesn't smell, it doesn't burn, it isn't greasy, and most important, it works.
Where's Dougie Yule? Dead, I hope.
I went to high school with Dougie. You can't say that.
Oh, well, I can say it, but I didn't mean it.
You don't get it, but you're laughing. That's what it's all about.
That even means nothing! That even means nothing! That even means nothing!
Nothing means nothing.
Nothing means nothing. What do you mean by that?
Where's Dougie Yule? Dead, I hope.
Whoa! I went to high school with Dougie Yule. You can't say that.
Well, I can say it, but I didn't mean it.
Singing about drugs, is this because you like taking drugs yourself?
No, it's because I can't carry when I go through customs and pick up somebody in the audience.
Were you searched by our customs men for drugs?
Oh no, because I don't take it.
No drugs at all. Mm-mm. And yet you sing about them.
I'm high on life.
You want people to take drugs themselves. Is this perhaps why you sing about drugs?
Oh yeah, I want them to take drugs.
Why is this?
Was this better than Monopoly?
Would you describe yourself as a decadent person?
No.
How would you describe yourself?
Average.
It said in your release that we were given this morning that you like lying to the press. Why is this, and are you doing it now?
I didn't say that, the release did.
Well, you're a man of few words. Why is this?
I don't have anything to say.
Do you like meeting people, talking to people? What message is it that you're trying to get across?
I don't have one.
Would it be right to call your music gutter rock?
Gutter rock?
Gutter rock.
Oh, yeah.
Lou, you sing a lot about transvestites and sadomasochism. How would you describe yourself in the light of these songs?
You don't get it, but you're laughing. That's what it's all about. Doesn't matter if it's funny. Doesn't matter if anybody gets it. It's funny. Take all the time you want. Laugh about it tomorrow. Laugh about it in an hour. Back, get it?
I'm Chuck Woolery. You know, if you live long enough, we all end up with a little arthritis pain. Doesn't smell, it doesn't burn, it isn't greasy, and most important, it works.
Yeah, man. Messed up there. What are you going to do? Hey, it's the best show. What's going on, everybody? Right? Fun? Yes? You? Fun? You there. You having fun? Yes, you are. Because I told you you are. This is not optional. Didn't Weird Al have an album called, like, Fun's Not? I don't know. That's what I need. I need some of that Weird Al. That Weird Al loyalty. Right? Man, those people, Weird Al. Weird Al could tell his audience, run into a burning building, man. They'd run in. Those people love their Weird Al. Everybody loves Weird Al, though. It's amazing the body of work that guy's strung together. But man, that guy, if he was suddenly told people we're all moving to a ranch in Montana, going to work the land in Wyoming, he'd have an army, Al's army. Who did we hear? We just heard from Dark Blue. This is a great record that came out on the 12XU label. Everybody likes that label, and it's on. It came out last year, I believe, and the song's called Waterford Crystals, and the name of the record is. Man, why do I always get the name of this one wrong? Oh, I can't read. What is it? Come on. What is it? Oh, man, I'm so bad. I'm getting dumber. I think I'm getting dumber. I know I'm getting dumber. Holy moly, I'm getting dumber. What's happening? What's that movie, Mike, where the dude gets dumber? I don't know. It's like a play or something. No, what's it like? It's like flower something. Flowers for Algernon. Victory is rated. That's what I thought it said. I just had to look. I was 99% sure. I just didn't want to sound dumb in front of everybody, and then all I did was sound dumb. That's how it goes sometimes. I don't care. I never said I was smart. Never said I was smart. Can't say you were sold a bill of goods. He's not as smart as he said he was. Uh-uh. Not over here, man. But yeah, Dark Blue, who I believe are from Philadelphia. Kurt Vile plays trumpet on the record. And, but you should get the record just cause you want to get it, cause it's good. So what do we got going on tonight? We've got a good old time. We got Mary Houlihan's going to be here, our friend Mary. She's got a new show starting this week. It's very entertaining. It's very funny. She sent me links. Three of them didn't work. One did. Not saying. Not going to complain. Video's unavailable. Tried to watch all of them. Not complaining, though. Then we got our friend Andy Zaks, who haven't seen in a while, and he's been working like crazy on this this Woodstock box set, which I'm looking forward to hearing all about. He's been working on it forever. Mike's out there writing. Mike, when I came in, man, Mike had that look on his face. Like the tonight's a cut loose night. I didn't like that look. He literally raised his beer to me. Like saluting me. And it's just like, yeah, not yet. Please. Not yet. I'm not ready for this yet. And I also want to say this. You weren't here last week, Mike, right? So look, first of all, you left the lid on the M&Ms loose. They had that soft, like kind of like moist quality to them. They were not crisp the way a good peanut M&M is. But then I come in, and what do I find? The jar of there's like a tropical snack thing. That the lid was loose on that. You're exempt on that one, Mike. That's a Pat and Dudio one. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to bring the snacks in here. You're going to have to come in and sign out snacks.
I was wondering if I could get some of the sugar-covered cashews.
Sure. Just fill out that form. Here it is. I'll give them to you on a little napkin or a tiny paper plate. Complete waste of resources. Tell you, I'm sure you go to Mike's place. I'm sure the snacks are not. Sure those lids are not loose over there. Sure, those are tight as a drum over there. He's probably got those snacks hermetically sealed. Al Capone's vault wasn't as sealed as tight as Mike steals those snacks at home. He comes here, spins a lid off, reach in, grabs some M&Ms. Close the lid, don't close the lid. Man, what matters? It doesn't matter. Who's good here, Mike? Line 4. Your idea good or my idea good? No one... Oh, that's not nice. Best show, hi.
Hey, Mr. Shackler. Hi, you were right. How are you, Bob Cribby? How you doing?
I'm good. Now, this, if my memory serves me correctly, this is Avalanche Bob, a local performer, a New York City performer. Yes? Bob?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. I had 2 setbacks, but things are going great. And I got some shows coming up in September. We're getting the band back together. And Owen's working on the movie, and things look great.
Everybody's working on the movie.
Yeah, Owen's working on the movie.
Oh, yeah.
He had to do the whole movie over, and as they put on Facebook the other day, I read when you have a movie, what is it, your movie or Hollywood's movie? They want him to change the whole movie, so that's what he had to do.
Well, he had to change his movie. It's not called show friendship, Avalanche
Bob.
Yeah,
that's what you call it, man.
It's called show business.
Yeah, that's show biz. And so, you know, things are going, as I said, I'm trying to get this Red Bull commercial. I have a couple people working on it for me. If I get that, that's going to be the biggest thing. So, you know, everything I can do, I'm doing. I mean, I know my music's going to get out there. I just know it. I've got thousands of fans now. It's just a question of getting it out to the whole public.
You just get it. It's, look, you get it out there, and you can't control what happens. You just get it out there. You know you're making music. Do you like making the music?
Music is my life, Tom. Yeah. You know that.
You've always liked making it, so you keep making it. And
that's
you make
what I'm doing. That's what I'm here for.
And that's
for.
What you're doing. And you do it, and then you got your people that like it, and you can't worry about the rest.
No, I don't worry about it. I don't worry. All I worry about what I'm here for, and I know what I'm here for. I've had all kinds of psychic experiences and things, so I know what I'm here for. And
what kind of experiences?
I've had a lot of experiences with, let's say, paranormal. Yeah, quite a few.
All right, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of that. What's a one paranormal experience you've had? You can't just tease me like that.
I've had some guides to tell me what to do.
Some guides.
You know, like angels and
sure.
People like that. And
sure.
Spirits.
I got you. No,
yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
You're doing your thing.
That's what I'm doing. I'm supposed to do this because I've got music I think can really make the world better. And as I said, I had this beautiful song on Facebook. People took it the wrong way, called "The Voices of the Children Yet Unborn," which is in the special "Hoodoo Man," which is on the album, the song "Hoodoo Man." And people took it. I had 5,000 views. It went up on Facebook in 2 days, and I think it would have went viral, but Facebook took it off. So
You still got the song.
Yeah,
they can't take your song from you.
I got people behind me, and Tom, I got somebody here wants to talk to you through my Twitter account. Speaking through the intercontinental dimension, and his name is Zara. Zara is from the Saturnian universe, and he wants to say hello to you.
Great.
This be thy great Tom Shacklin.
Yes, it's me.
Howa, this be thy Zala from Saturnian universe.
I don't have it.
Oh, Tom, you are known through our universe.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. This is such a pleasure. Mr. Avalanche Bob, Oh, do you know in other universes, this Superboy Stone has become famous, and it is coming to your universe.
Finally, it's coming to our universe.
Yes, it is. That's such a pleasure to talk to you. Oh, excuse my English, but is not too good. You know, we have our own language.
No, of course, I understand. You have your own language.
Yes. All right, I will put thee back on thy great Mr. Avalanche Cribby.
Please,
okay?
Yes, let's hear from him, yes.
Thank you.
It was very nice to meet you.
Oh, Tom, yeah, he wanted to talk to you. Superboard Stormman wants to say hello to you one of these days.
Oh, okay, I don't want to burn them all out tonight.
No. You want to hear a little yodel pop?
Give me a quick one. Well, how about that? Bob, you're still doing it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
You're still doing it.
Superboard Revolution, roll on!
Keep going. All right, buddy.
Love you, man. Bye.
Okay, take care. Best Show, hi. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well. Who's this?
This is Nick from Manhattan.
Hi, Nick. What's going on?
Nothing much. I was wondering something. I have something to share with you. I just kind of have like a couple questions about it.
Okay.
All right. So you're a tough guy? Like a really tough guy? Just can't get enough guy? Chest always so puffed guy? I'm that bad type. Make your mom a sad type. Make your girlfriend that type.
I should have let him keep going. I just wasn't very good. Come on, Mike. What are you doing to me out here? You're killing me. You're killing me, Mike. Yeah, he's so busy. He's got to keep your eyes on the prize, Mike. He wants to get Yakov Smirnoff to call the show. What am I going to say to the guy? I mean, the whole thing is you're trying to get him to call, but in Russia, radio show calls you. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Who's this?
This is Mike in Nashville.
Mike in Nashville. What's up, Mike?
Not much. Just got back from work and stuff.
Love it.
Yeah, man. How are you?
I'm all right. What do you got for
That's
me
good.
Now? What do you got for me? You got to have something good. You got to have something good for me.
I hope it's all right. I was going to ask where you stand on Storm in Area 51 to see them aliens.
Yeah, now that sounds like it should be the current priority for everybody. That's really where we should aim all of our attention and energy is towards storming Area 51. Right, that's where the idea of everyone gathering and putting a united force behind something. Yeah, let's do it for that. There's no other issue right now that you might want that might be served by everyone uniting but let's do it. Let's charge a military base. They would love nothing more than to see an army of people charging the military base. They would just mow down row after row of everybody.
Well, the motto is they can't stop all of them.
Sure they can.
Yeah.
What is it? Who said that motto? Some dunce on the internet? They can't stop all of us. They can't stop all of us. That maybe is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in relation to people storming Area 51. And then somebody was like, if we like zigzag or whatever it is, what is it? It's like the in-laws. They're saying serpentine. They're supposed to run serpentine. They can't hit us if we run serpentine. All right. My friend,
thanks, Seth.
You have a great night.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring people in and out tonight, Mike. Did you, pizza is on the way? It's on the way. Everybody's happy out there? All right, don't be that happy. We're not taping Married with Children. Got a hoot and holler. So yeah, so the snack lid's been loose. I'm not happy about that. On a serious note, I do want to say that someone who has been a big supporter of the show and a friend to the show and a friend to the people that make the show passed away, Laura Michaels. And she's a sweet person, and she's always been a fan of the show, and I like... always looked forward to seeing her on Twitter and supporting the show. She always said the nicest things, and she really liked the show so much, and that means so much, and it's truly sad. And, she's a very nice person. And she's been a fan of the show for a long time, and, so it's very sad, and, obviously the condolences to her family and to Missy and everybody, and very sad. So just wanted to say that at the start of the show, and that's why we're doing the show. I'm glad people like it and it means something to them in their life. That means everything to me. So you will be missed, Laura. Rest in peace. Yeah. Very sad. Guys got to tighten these snack lids. I'm serious. Just tighten it. Just tighten the snack lid. You have to do that when you were a kid? You have to tighten the snack lid? Do you leave cabinet doors open, Mike? That drive you nuts?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Now you close them, right? So you close those, right? You leave your front door open? You close that? Oh, so but you close it, right? So you've got some functional ability to close things. He doesn't close the bathroom door. Well, that's charming. Well, that's just a detail we all were wondering. Thanks for filling in the blanks on that one. All right. Take it easy. It's like he's a wrestler up in here. I can make it. I'm going to say this, Mike. Can I, in all seriousness, can I mention something that, in a serious note that you, about something you wrote? I'm not going to go into detail on it. I'm going to just say this. This drove me up the wall. This AP Mike. He says, hey, I wrote a thing. Will you want to take a look at it? I start reading this thing. I'm just like, oh, I guess I got to read this thing. I start reading it. I read about half of it, and I couldn't keep reading it because I had to put it. I was not able to finish it then. This guy writes a screenplay. I gotta say,
This guy's a talented guy. I'm not kidding. He's the most talented person on the show. And it drives me up the wall, makes me sick to my stomach. I wanted to throw up every page I read. I wanted to barf. This guy, what can't this guy do? It's sickening. Made me sick to my stomach. You're a really good writer, Mike. You're a really good writer. Makes me want to puke. It's not fair. All right, let's bring in, I'm going to bring in Mary real quick, and then we'll bring in Andy, and then we'll bring everybody, and then we'll throw people out and bring other people in. It'll be just a fun night. Pat, would you bring Mary in? Oh, there she is. It's Mary Houlihan.
Hi.
Mary Hula Hoop.
That's me.
All right, bring that mic closer to your face.
Hello.
There you are. Good.
Cool.
Yeah, there
yeah.
it is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The headphones, you've got your Kirkland light there.
Yeah.
Those are collectible, you know. They don't make them
what?
Anymore.
I could probably sell this.
You probably could. So that, who gave you, did you pick that yourself or did Mike foist that upon you?
Well, I looked in the fridge and I saw some cores and I said, well, I shouldn't touch those.
No, you could touch them.
Okay.
You think he pays for them?
Oh, I don't know.
He doesn't. I do know. No, he doesn't.
Yikes.
You want a Coors Light, you go get a Coors Light.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you whatever you want, you take.
Okay.
You have the green light. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we have Mary Houlihan here. She's very funny. Very funny. She's an actor and a writer and a podcaster. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What other hyphenates am I missing?
Painter.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God. How could I forget that?
The toy.
Right? Your art. That's the first thing I knew about you was your art.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was at the Chris Gethard show, right? Remember when he had his show?
I remember.
And then you came up to me.
Mm-hmm.
You presented me with a painting
mm-hmm.
of me and John,
mm-hmm.
and it was very nice. And then, fast forward, and we're best friends.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Mary? You got this new show coming out that you made?
I got this new show. I'm shocked to learn that these links didn't work. I'm shocked. I'm saddened.
This video is unavailable. Said for 2, 3, and 4. I did watch one, though, and I'm going to say this.
They sent me new links.
It was really funny.
And I didn't send them to you.
I thought it was really funny.
Oh, good.
I liked it a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes, it's a web series, a 4-episode series called CEO Skyscraper.
CEO Skyscraper. Now, what on earth could that be about?
It's about a woman who is the CEO of a vaguely financial services company that exists in a skyscraper,
uh-huh.
which she also owns.
Yes. She's the owner of the skyscraper. It is. When I digested the concept for it, I was like, oh my God, this is the most Mary Houlihan thing I've ever.
Mm-hmm.
It was so. And look, you understand when I say something is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know I mean
yes.
that's a high
yeah.
compliment.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
The idea that she inherited it from her.
Yeah, well, her dad passed away.
Yeah.
And he built it from the ground up.
He built the sky. It is. You're so happy with that. You seem like that was maybe the best day of your life when you came up with that idea.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do a little dance?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm very delighted imagining, like, you know, an imaginary person that hears that. And they're mm-hmm. like, that doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah.
picturing that delights
that
me.
That moment. That's the moment you're striving for. Yeah. It's the moment where they're just like, wait, hold on. And they think you don't, they think
they
you made a mistake somewhere?
Yeah, they think I'm for real dumb.
So you, on the show, wait, why does she have to own the skyscraper? She's running a business, but she owns the building?
It's not explained.
Oh, it's so funny. And when can people see this?
On Thursday.
Thursday. So this is, so I saw something that people haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least one of the, there's three. I also am just like everybody else on.
Yeah.
I know how everybody else feels for three of the four episodes. One of them I feel special.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's enough. Yeah. And it's going to be where now? Where are people going to find CEO Skyscraper?
It's going to be at hatched.nyc. That's right. .nyc, not .com. .nyc.
Hatched?
Hatched. Like an egg.
Like, we had we were on the farm and then there were the eggs and then they hatched.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. And now Hatched is, they're going to be, so people go to hatched.nyc.
Yes.
On Thursday. You don't go there today.
Don't go there today.
You don't go tomorrow.
Uh-uh.
Thursday, the first thing you do is go there.
Yes.
And it's only Thursday? Like, they'll be gone on Friday?
Yes.
So you have one day, so it's just like a television show.
Yeah, if you don't, that's it.
Why don't people do that more? Where they're just like the way a TV show would be, where it's just like, man, I'm putting it up for a day and then it's gone. So you better watch it on that one day.
Nah.
You make sure everybody watches it though. If it was somebody like, if some like hotshot did it, right?
Yeah.
Say like some hotshot did it. Mm-hmm. Like who's a hotshot?
Jamie Foxx.
Like Jamie Foxx is just like, he's like, everybody, I'm putting a show up. I'm putting up at Thursday at 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm taking it down at like 10 in the morning. You've got like 13 hours to watch this thing.
Yeah. Okay.
You just make people do it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I think we need to get the people from Hatched on the phone for this proposal.
Yeah.
That they delete. And they delete it.
Yes,
then it's just gone.
They have to.
Yes.
They said that it would make more sense if we kept the videos up so that people could watch them whenever. And I said, no, one day or else I'm out.
It's gone. Yes. Or you're out of the biz with Hatched.
Yeah.
So people are going to watch. It's very funny, Mary. It's very
Thank
funny.
You.
So what else is going on?
So much.
You're doing your show, your fancy Me and Jack show.
Yes, my fancy Jack Nicholson show. I'm doing it in Scotland for a whole month.
Scotland.
That's right.
The country.
The country.
You're going over.
Yup.
And you're going to perform it every night.
Yep. Well, every afternoon at 2:30 p.m.
Every afternoon you'll be performing Me and Jack as a part of what now? The
Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh, my God. You're in that. That's the ticket to the big time.
Maybe. It seems fun.
I just already can see what's going to happen.
No.
No, I see it. I see it. This is the last time you'll be in studio.
No.
I'll just say that. No, it's your decision.
No, it's
your decision.
No, succeed.
It's your decision. Oh, no, I won't. You won't succeed? you're promising me that you'll fail.
Yeah.
You'll fail, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You promise?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Please, just don't succeed. I just don't want you to not. No, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go over there. It's going to be the talk of Edinburgh.
Hmm.
Edinburgh, right?
Yes.
What are you laughing at, Mike? Mike, what are you laughing at? I hate this whole, I got like a school marm thing going on here where I'm the villain somehow. In his mind, I'm the villain.
Uh-huh.
Like this, what's happening in this room.
It's his fault.
Is an inconvenience to what he's doing out there.
Sure, yeah.
Like this just. It's like, well, I guess if he's going to go in there and do whatever he's doing, I can't stop him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I certainly can't stop my party. going on out there. The show he's got going on. One week I'm going to record him out there. He's not even going to know. And we'll just play it the next week. What do you think about that, Mike? Yeah, he's into it. That's a problem. He's into it. I can't even, this guy, he's a Teflon. I can't even get him. It's like, yeah, do it. So you're going to go to Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to see the show. They're going to be talking all about Mary Houlihan. What, did you see Mary Houlihan's show yet?
Oh, you got to see it.
And then there'll be a line all the way to like to Ireland.
Ugh, I hope so.
It'll literally go up to a different country. Yeah. The line waiting to get
across the water.
Across the water. They'll provide floaties.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to come back and it's going to be like, did you hear who's in the new Fast and Furious movie? Mary Houlihan is in it. She plays Vin Diesel's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be, hey, Mary, you want to come on and talk about the thing? Well,
super swamped.
Yeah, I'm super swamped. Does it have to be on a Tuesday? Like, that'll be the thing.
Maybe
like,
I can call in, but I'm not sure.
Like, do you ever do the show on different nights? I can't remember. I'll be like, you know I only do it on Tuesdays.
When do you do the show again? that'll
burn. Like, and where is it? It's on WFMU, right? What is it? Right. Like, you weren't even on it when I was on the... Oh, I'm already mad at a thing that's not happening. Oh, why are you doing this to me?
Sorry.
No, it's
gonna, like how I'm doing this to you.
Yeah, I know it's my it's
Mike is making you a villain. You're electing to do all of this.
Oh, that's a fair point. Mm. I do know though you're going to go over, and people are going to love it. Because people go there, and that's where people think of who scored. They go over there. They come back, and everybody knows who they are.
I'm gonna be Bo Burnham.
You're going to be the next Bo Burnham.
I wish.
Eighth grade two.
Mm-hmm.
Hooli
Ninth
style.
Ninth grade.
Yeah, eighth grade two. It's like, wait, are they taking the, are they, they have to do this school year over again?
Yeah.
Were you ever, how were you as a student in school, Mary?
I was really smart.
Mm-hmm.
I was in gifted and talented.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little bit of a rebel.
Okay. Uh-oh.
I was, like, pretentious. Like, I'd be...
Like a blowhard?
I'd be reading, like, a novel uh-huh. in class.
Uh-huh.
Like we're not time. Learning enough in this class, so I have to read this book.
Yeah. Like, I gotta set my own agenda here.
Yeah.
Because I don't... This class is not filling my brain quickly enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, like, what books were you reading?
Kurt Vonnegut.
Okay.
Noam
Oh, you
Chomsky.
Mean the stuff they won't teach. They're not going to teach us stuff like this here. You know, these books, they wouldn't teach us this in a million years.
Gosh. Well, I mean, we read one of them.
Except for the one that they made us do. But other than that one, they wouldn't teach us this in a million years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was you in
that
school.
Was me. Yeah.
You're smart,
mm-hmm.
gifted and talented,
mm-hmm.
but rebellious also.
Yeah.
And what kind of rebellion are we talking about here? Smashing stuff in the hallway? What are you doing?
Stealing
I would the fire say extinguishers?
There was sort of a divide amongst my teachers where some of them would be like, aren't you just the cutest little thing? Here, borrow this book. Like, uh-huh. very nurturing and nice. And then other ones would be like, oh, you think you're smart.
Uh-huh. Just like, and they just want to kind of grind you down under yeah. their thumb, right?
Yeah.
Like the wall. Right, Mike? The wall.
It was just like the wall.
It was just like the wall. They did it to...
That song was based on me.
Yes, that song was based on you. That song from 1979 was based on your high school.
Mm-hmm.
Who's good here, Mike? Line two. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Lori.
Hi.
Hi, Mary. How are the two of you?
You're here with Mary Houlihan.
Yes, I am. That's very exciting.
How are you, Lori?
I'm saying it for the audience.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
What?
I'm saying for the audience, it's Mary Houlihan. It's reframing the conversation, Mary.
No, you're right. You're right.
You want them to...
I've done that before, Mary. It's okay.
Okay.
You want only three people to know you're on, or you want everybody to hear? People just... Well, actually, you know, people just click in their computer on now and listen, and like, who's that?
Who's that lady?
What's going on, Lori?
Not much. You know, same old, same old.
Is that good or bad?
I mean, a lot has happened since I last called in, I guess.
Dish.
Like, you know, I just read about Grimes' workout routine. Which is interesting.
I only heard about her eyeball. I didn't hear about the workout.
That's what I heard about, too.
Yeah, but that was today. You said so much has happened since the last time you called in. You could have called in last week and still said, this happened since the last time I called in.
I was going to talk about
four hours ago that article went up.
I was going to talk about Lil Xan being investigated by the police, you know.
Oh, really? What for?
Oh, someone was dogging him in a gas station because he made some comments about Tupac being like a gangster rapper. And how he's not a gangster rapper, and Tupac is overrated. And people, you know, have been fans.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
Gangster Raptor. There's something there. Mike. Yeah. Mike.
He said rapper.
Mike, check that. Check to see if Gangster Raptor is in development anywhere.
I don't think I said that, but okay. Maybe
oh,
I
you
did.
Said it. You said it. You said Gangster Raptor.
We let it go, but this has legs.
No, there's money to be made. Gangster Raptor. So go ahead, Lori. So then Lil Xan got in a thing.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, it wasn't like anything threatening. He was just filming Lil Xan, the fan, and, you know, kind of poking fun at him. It was harmless. And then Lil Xan pulled out a gun, which you're not supposed to do.
No.
Like, because he wasn't being threatened. Like, his life was not at risk. Mm-hmm. And he used a racial slur. So I don't know. I think John Daly's going to be disappointed about it. It happened
on
Father's Day, too.
That's his son.
The news came out. It was a real bummer.
Yeah, the news came out on that, right? Newsflash.
It's on Twitter. That's the news.
The
news.
No, it's not. Twitter's not the news. Lori, come on.
I need newspapers too.
I expect more from you, Lori. There's a difference between Twitter and a newspaper. There's a whole huge section in the middle there.
Twitter.
Yes,
the
I follow verified news accounts on Twitter. I mean, surely that has to count for something. And then I click the links and read the articles.
Yeah, it's not the news. It sends you to the news.
Okay, that's a fair point, Tom.
It would be like if you're driving around and you look at the when you drive at like posters that are slapped up on the side of construction sites. That's not a movie. That's just telling you about a movie.
You know, and some of those posters aren't very representative of billboards. You know, they get you.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. I don't know about that Quentin Tarantino movie coming out. I don't think I'm going to see it, Tom.
Well.
Not for me.
I think he is shaking in his boots now.
Funny you say boots.
Because I picture him wearing boots.
Oh, because he's a foot freak, you mean.
No, you know what? This is an easy mic comment.
How did the show end up here? You also, I wasn't even here. You completely did some filth call that I never have heard and I never will hear. That's the last time I heard. Yeah.
You heard that.
I didn't hear it. I'll never hear it.
Good. I don't want you to hear it.
You want me to or you don't?
No, I don't want you to hear it.
Well, don't worry. Then your wish has come true.
That's good.
I'm never going to hear it.
You know, I mean, there's something to be said for sex positivity.
I'm not saying... Look.
The kids don't know about that yet.
But the whole thing is...
Oh! Well, no, but this is an AP Mike show. I wouldn't say on your show.
Right.
Everyone knows
All
AP
right.
Mike
yeah, yeah.
show. Depravity's Rainbow is NSFW and not safe for children.
Yeah, except for the fact that it was always on the radio, and it was completely SFW. Until the one episode
not on the
we
radio
did.
Anymore.
Yeah, no. So you're saying everyone knows it's NSFW, except for every single episode took place on a, in a at a radio station
well,
where it was broadcast
that
over.
Was, did I?
It was what you were saying. It was NSFW, though.
Well, yes, but I didn't say any bad words.
You put NSFW on the table.
Well, look, there's a spectrum of NSFW.
All right, all right. Yeah, yeah.
All right, okay.
You're safe.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you. Do you have anything else, Lori?
Anything? Yeah. I was wondering about Woodstock 50. Do you think that's going to happen next month?
Well, we have, let's bring in our guest. What is this? It's like a leading, that's the most leading thing I've ever heard. Are you on his payroll?
I'm taking a job for you.
You might as well be being paid.
She's reading a script.
To have said, I want to know about Woodstock. That's the,
because
that was the most fraudulent thing I've ever heard.
I'll at you my PayPal info.
Who? Andy?
No! So I can get some of that podcast money.
Wait, whose money are you trying to get some of? Mine?
You said, I might as well be paid.
No, you might as well be paid for Andy Zach's. You bring up Woodstock. He's got his Woodstock box set out. Of all the things you could bring up, you're like, I wonder about Woodstock. Can we talk about that tonight?
Listen, it was a nice lead-in, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was very effective.
Thank you.
It was very effective.
So it was nice talking to you.
Oh, Lori, it was great talking to you. It's always a treat.
And Mary, and I look forward to hearing Mr. Zach's reply off
sure.
the air.
Yes, okay. Well,
bye,
thanks for the call,
Lori.
You have a grand evening.
You too.
Do we have Andy Zachs? Hi, say hi, please.
Hello there.
How are you?
I am well.
Let's see. Is that loud enough, Mike? Let's hear it.
Testing. One,
there
two,
we go.
Three.
Does that sound good to you, Pat?
Good.
Good. Okay. We got Andy Zachs is in the studio. Now, this guy he's had a very interesting career, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
He's a music biz, like a mover and a shaker. He makes things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Things that didn't happen, he does it, then they happened.
Like what?
Well, like, for example, there was a Talking Heads box, right?
Yes.
You were the architect of that?
Partially, yes.
Yes.
18 exciting inches long.
Yes. And
that was the box.
It was the packaging was unique. What are some other highlights of your music career, Andy?
John Cale, Nico, Echo and the Bunnymen, television, the good stuff, basically.
All these, but he goes into the vaults, he digs around, he finds the tapes, and he finds the hidden things, and he puts them, he gets to get the companies to put them out. That's what he does, but you know what else he did?
What?
Do you remember of course I'm going to bring it up.
Of course
you can't
you're going to bring it up. I mean, what, like I'm going to stop you?
Do you remember the show Beat the Geeks?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was one of the geeks.
Oh, I know. I already told him there.
He was a music geek.
Yeah. I liked the show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You weren't even alive when that was on the air.
I was a wee lass.
It was him and there was a TV geek who
with the sideburns.
His name was Garibles. Right? What was his name? It was Garibles, right?
Paul Goebel.
I thought it was Garibles. I thought it was Joseph Garibles. Paul Goebel.
No relation, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Joseph Goebbels Jr.
No, stop.
Josh Goebbels.
I don't know.
Okay, his name was Paul Goebel. And then there was a film geek, right?
Yes, the amazing Mark Edward Hoek.
And then what other geek? There was a rotating fourth one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was always somebody different. You know, some were a lot better than others. There mm-hmm. were a couple of terrifying ones.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, the worst was that guy, Mr. Skin. Absolutely.
He sounds normal.
Made my flesh crawl.
Yeah, here's Mike. Mike. Yeah, Mike, you finally paying attention to the show, huh? Now? Because this guy, Mr. Skin, he's this prevert who goes and he tracks down the moments when ladies take their tops off in movies. And he's like, if you want to see.
Loser.
He's like, if you want to see Suzanne Summers takes her top off in this movie, it's at the 45-minute mark.
No.
And if you want to watch this movie and Marcus taking a shower, it's 33 minutes into the movie.
That's, I had to stand next to that for half a day.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to bathe in Purell by the time I was done. It was really a lot.
Well, you're lucky smartphones weren't a thing because he would have been like, hey, look at this, like all day.
Yeah.
Showing you God knows what.
Who's your favorite actress? Who's your favorite actress? Hey, music geek, who's your favorite actress? What? Katie Holmes? Oh, okay. Well, there's an episode of Dawson's Creek. Where his shirt, you can see through his shirt. Season 4, episode 7. But now, you are the architect. This is the big one now, right? Is this the biggest project you've executed?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the biggest projects anybody's ever executed. Yeah. This is Everest.
You are responsible for. There's a thing called Woodstock that was a concert that took place 50 years ago next month, right? Is that about right?
That's about right. Yes.
And there was a movie.
There was.
And there was a soundtrack.
Two soundtracks.
There were two soundtracks, which were what, four albums in total? Were they both double albums?
Five. Triple and a double.
And that's what stood as the, for a long time, that was the documentation of Woodstock.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple other things, but we don't talk about those.
On the whole.
That was the record.
So then, until now, this guy, this is the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. He went. And how many years did you work on this?
Started in from the time we actually like mixed something in a studio, mm-hmm. that was 2005.
2005?
I was in high school.
Yeah. You think you're smart, right? Well, did you know that they're mixing, right now they're mixing a Sha-na-na?
That's what I would say to the teachers.
You'd be like, well, you know, they're actually doing a box set and I'm going to be on the radio with the guy 15 years from now. So pretty much 15 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that was then. This is now. We put some stuff together for the 40th anniversary 10 years mm-hmm. ago. And
but that still was not the biggie.
No, that was a mere 6 discs, a mere 8 hours or thereabouts. Large, big. Mm-hmm. So but not the big one.
But the big one is now. Tell everybody what the big one is.
Okay, so the big one is it's 38 CDs long. It is 36 hours long.
38 CDs, 36 hours.
And it is 99.9% of everything that happened at Woodstock.
So it just is, it starts, what is track one of disc one?
Track one of disc one is Richie Havens saying hello.
Okay. So that's when Woodstock started, Richie Havens.
That's the beginning. Or that's what we call the beginning.
Okay. And it's every performance except for like 5 songs, right? Is that the case?
Three
songs.
Two of them exist. One of them, I think, probably doesn't exist, but we do know that it was performed.
Okay. And what songs were those?
A Teenager in Love, performed by Sha-na-na.
Okay.
We have photographic evidence.
Well, I'm out of it then. I don't want it. I wanted the whole thing for that.
No, actually. I understand. That's disqualifying for many. Mm-hmm. I do understand that. And two Jimi Hendrix songs that the Jimi Hendrix estate is not crazy about and would prefer not to have out in the world, so we don't have those.
Why not? Are they offensive?
They're not great. They
suck.
Well, he's not singing on them.
Okay.
He had a friend. He was an old pal, and he had just gotten out of the army a couple weeks before, mm-hmm. and Hendrix invited him into the band to play second guitar, okay. uh-huh. and he sings two songs, and yeah, I mean, the politest thing we could say about them is that they are not so good.
They don't match the quality of the other performances.
I think that would be a fair and reasonable conclusion, yes.
But this is, otherwise, every single note is on this thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's all there.
And what about, like, the ambiance of the thing? That's on there, too?
Hours and hours of stage announcements about insulin, medication, bad trips.
I mean, that's what I'm more excited about.
Kidney stones, birth, death, you know, the all of life is there, really.
No offense to the music. I am so excited about hearing the PA announcements at that thing. I am not kidding.
Well, this is the thing you're going to love. I mean, I think it's the thing that a lot of people are going to love because it's the texture of the thing, mm-hmm. really. That's kind of what makes Woodstock, Woodstock.
Because it was the PA announcements. People are going like, hey, man, stay away from the... We got grilled cheese sandwiches, man. Right? It's stuff like that. Is that what they were saying?
That's the parking lot at a Fish concert. The grilled cheese sandwiches. Yeah. But you know, it's just sort of the 1969 version thereof. No, you've got a lot of people talking about food. There's a lot of bulgur wheat going around at Woodstock.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I meet somebody who was there, and I've met a lot of people who were there, mm-hmm. I always ask them the question: like, did you eat any of the 300,000 pounds of bulgur wheat that the people at the hog farm commune brought and boiled in a giant vat and served to people? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, to me just sounds like the most repellent, awful, slimy stuff in the entire world. And no one will cop to having eaten this.
Now, what is this this file I have here, Andy?
Oh, so I thought this was, you know, talking about, like, the people speaking, the people talking, mm-hmm. the essence of life at Woodstock. There's this guy, and I found him on this reel.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people who was recording sound for the documentary, they gave him a tape recorder, and they asked him to go get what they called wild sound.
Sure, which is ambiance.
Right, so they sent him wandering around in the field just talking to people or kind of capturing bits of conversations.
Sure.
So he was wandering around. The concert was over by this point.
Okay.
So it's just like there's like five guys left who were there like picking up garbage.
Through this sea of trash also.
Yeah. No, so I mean this would have been a really good place for metal detector guys. It would have been ideal. But they were just kind of picking through old moldy sleeping bags and bits of dirt and grass and stuff. And somebody holds a microphone up to this guy, and this guy is like, he is the predecessor of every jaded indie rock hipster you have ever met after a concert in your uh-huh. entire life. This is the 1969 model Brooklyn vegan guy.
Okay.
And it seemed up your alley somehow.
So I have not heard this.
You have not heard this.
Okay, let's take a listen to this. Has anybody heard this?
Very, very, very few people. World premiere, I think.
This is a world premiere. We're going to listen to this. I'm going to turn the mics down so we can just listen to this for a couple minutes. Hold on. And it didn't play. Oh, you mother. Why is it all against me, Mary? Why is everything against me? I tried to play the thing. I got a world premiere, and I can't play the thing.
It's been a good pop. We've learned a lot of things.
Learning and living together.
That's it. Main thing about a
Wouldn't you say that was the big thing about this weekend?
What?
Learning and living together. After all, we did it so beautifully, didn't we? For the first time ever, I really didn't dig the music, honestly. I never listened once.
What'd you do?
Oh, I contemplated my life's future. The future of my own personal life.
What are you going to do?
Oh, I think I'm going to turn naturalist.
You go what?
I'm going to turn naturalist.
Naturalist?
Naturalist. Yeah, right away.
What's that?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say it includes a lot of things.
No, I don't know. Naturalist. What?
All over. All over. Like, first of all,
I think I'm going to stop eating meat totally. I'm going to go strictly vegetarian. And secondly, I'm going to get out of myself as much as I was into myself. Very simple thing, I hope. Yeah. That was a pretty strange show. Did you see The Who?
No.
You didn't see them. Did you see them? Well, if you had seen The Who, you know what I mean. And it came on like at 4 o'clock in the morning. And they came out and played their new album, which they must have played 100 times by now in 100 different places. And they did the exact same thing. Peter Townsend did the exact same moves. Roger Daltrey did the exact same moves they've done for a year and a half, 2 years. And they weren't giving anybody anything new. They weren't contributing anything to Music Man. They weren't making anything at all. You dig? They weren't, man. They just weren't, really and truly. This was the whole scene, man. This whole thing was nothing to do with music. It was to see whether 300,000 people would do what they did, and they did. And anybody that calls this a success, I think, is f***ed up, really. I think it was a success, you know, to some degree. But nowhere near total success. And I don't think you think so either. Really, man. I don't think you think so either. At all. I mean, for the first time it was damn good. It was damn good. But man. Yeah, how long is it going to take the Captain Owns This Land to get it back to where it was? Singing is on the way out anyway, you know that. Singing is on the way out. Magic Terry said so. And Magic Terry knows what he's talking about.
All right. Wow. That was fantastic. So that's just some windbag.
I love that guy. I talked to like versions of that guy after Pavement shows in the 90s.
Yeah. You know, singing's on the way out.
Oh my God.
Magic Terry, that may be my next project.
Figuring out who Magic Terry is?
Oh, I know who Magic Terry was. Okay. I don't know enough, but I need to know more. Magic Terry was the front man of a Boston band called Magic Terry and the Universe. Wow. And he was a poet. So he spoke in front of this band.
Yeah.
But the really amazing thing, this is why we all need to go out and start the Magic Terry revival, is that his band included, I'm not making this up, this is real, the band included both Billy Squire and Klaus Fluoride.
Okay. Who's Klaus Fluoride again?
From the Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
You know, that's cognitive dissonance made real, that band. So
it's pre-Dead Kennedys, pre-Piper.
Yes. Well played, yes.
So, and Magic Terry's the front man.
Yes.
And this thing you just, this audio we just heard, is that on the thing?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean.
And this is like 36 discs.
That's on disc 38. That's on the final disc.
And this box said, because it comes in different sizes, is that correct?
Sure. I mean, there's not everybody, 38 discs is a lot, and that's a whole lot to ask, and not everybody is going to want to be in for that. So that's a very large, very heavy, very limited, kind of expensive proposition.
The 38 disc.
The 38 disc.
What's the next click down from that?
The next click down, which is probably the thing that most people will enjoy a bit more, is... It's 13 hours long, it's 10 CDs, and it's same balance of stuff. Plenty of talking, it's my selection of probably the most of the best of the music.
Sure.
It's 13 hours, it's a reasonable sampling by anybody's standards. And there's some smaller stuff, some vinyl and a 3 CD package and a couple of indie retail exclusive things for your cooler records.
So I'm going to have to go buy this 36 disc thing is what you're telling me.
Yes.
The 38 disc thing.
Yeah, of course.
As you said, it's going to sell out.
Close.
I better not miss this.
It's very close.
Mike, order me that tonight. We'll figure it out.
They're striking today.
Yeah, we're not ordering from Amazon.
No, it is not. You can go directly and only from the Rhino website.
Okay. I guess we're going to the Rhino website tonight, Mike. You got to give me a promo code. free shipping or something. At least give me a T-shirt or something.
Okay, we'll work on it.
We'll work on that. So this is, yeah, this is crazy. This is the craziest thing. And you worked for 15 years on this thing, and it's finally out.
Yeah, now. I mean, not 15 consecutive years. I mean, let's be real about this.
But it's still in your head. It was in your head for that long.
Sure. No, it was the white whale. You know, it was always mm-hmm. kind of like, okay, one of these days, I may get one more crack at this thing for the 50th. Mm-hmm. Maybe then. Maybe we'll do it.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
And delightfully enough, people said, yeah, do it. Let's do it. So we did it. And that meant I spent 10 months, like, living in a submarine, essentially. Like,
basically.
Trapped in a studio, night after night, after horrible night.
As if Woodstock would never end.
In my head, it is never going to end. It's kind of like...
Hey, man.
Yeah.
It's never going to end, man. Right?
Well, you know, singing's on the way out.
Well, singing's on... So... What were some of the surprises that were in the vault when you started digging through this? Because where were you getting these tapes from? I know I just asked you a question, but
yeah,
I'm asking.
Well, most of the tapes, pleasantly enough, were stored by when the movie was done. So the tapes were all kind of originally done and intended to be used for Michael Wadley's film in 1970 of mm-hmm. Woodstock. And so after that happened, Atlantic Records wound up with all the tapes.
Okay.
And they stored them for a long, long time. And at a certain point, Atlantic closed their tape facility in New York City and sent them across the country to the Warner Brothers tape facility out in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
Which is where they live now.
Okay.
And when they arrived there, that was how I first saw them. I was just, they were, you know, stuff was coming off of trucks and they were loading it onto shelves and I was out at the vault a lot and I would always kind of walk by to see like, oh, what did they unload today? Mm-hmm. What do we got? And, you know, periodically you would see something, you would go like, oh my God, that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that's incredible. And then one day, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things all showed up on a giant shelf, and it was Woodstock, nearly all of it. And I was kind of like, wow, this is a lot of stuff. And it became really clear that there was way more of it than anybody had ever heard or thought about or investigated or wanted to deal with.
Yeah.
And then it began to sort of haunt me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm selfish when it comes to this stuff. I mean, nearly every project I've ever worked on kind of starts from some moment where I think to myself, I kind of want to hear this. I really want to hear this.
Yeah.
And then I just figure out a way to hear it. And this was how I figured out how to hear it.
Look, I know you can't say this. This is a sidebar.
Yes.
You've heard things that none of us will ever hear ever, right?
Yes.
Would you ever say what one of those things is? Like, what's a thing you heard that will never get released that when you're poking around these vaults that it would kill everybody to hear?
Okay.
They'd push their mother into traffic to hear it.
Okay. No names.
No names.
Like, no names. Like, and you can't ask me. We're not going to play 20 questions.
Oh, no, no,
you
no. Don't. Okay.
All right. Okay. So, there's a recording.
It's the Beatles.
Somebody had been asked.
I'm sorry. That was Mike, it's the Beatles. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Somebody had been asked to do something for an industry gathering. Mm-hmm. And the result of that was what sounded for the first 3 minutes uh-huh. like a nice acoustic reading of an old 1950s song.
Okay.
It was lovely. Yeah. You know, and we were sitting listening to it in the studio mm-hmm. and thinking like, wow, this mm-hmm. is really good. Mm-hmm. It's amazing mm-hmm. that this thing just kind of got thrown away on this thing.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it broke into a completely new song, which contained, unpleasant language.
Okay.
Lots and lots of unpleasant language. Yeah. The kind, not
hate speech.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the kind of thing that, well, it used to be called uh-huh. a career ender.
Sure.
In today's climate, I'm not sure.
It's called a New York stand-up.
Kind of.
Right? You see, they get it to Creek and Cave. Right? Mary saying, like, no, sorry. Go ahead. So, but, it would have been a career ender.
Yeah. So we played this thing and I said to the engineer, we were sitting in Capitol Studios mm-hmm. doing this, which was fun.
Capitol,
Capitol, yeah.
Mike, that makes it, what? Just stop it, Mike. We're not playing 20 questions.
And it was just one of those things where we played it through, we stopped the tape, and I said to the assistant engineer, mm-hmm. I said, okay, you're going to make one copy of that, yeah. and it's going to me.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to watch you erase it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to wipe it in front of me, and there's not going to be any other copies other than the one that I'm burying in a safety deposit box for all eternity.
Well, this just sounds like you're challenging people now. This sounds like a bad movie.
Nah.
This sounds like that Dabney Coleman movie where he took an insurance policy out on himself.
It's very well secured, and if you try to mess with it or me, you'll have Lisa Jane Persky to reckon with. And you do not want with me, but you don't want to reckon with her.
No, you don't. And then and standing right behind her is going to be Paul Goebbels.
Yeah,
will be there.
Yeah, no, you don't want Paul Goebbels mad at you. You do not want
that.
With
them. He'll hit you with a game-worn Mr. Ed saddle.
Yeah. And I can call Mark Hoik and he will hit you with scorn.
Yeah.
Mark does scorn better than any human being I know.
So you heard that and that sounds horrifying. Mike wants me to ask you, did you ever hear the reggae version of Bohemian Rhapsody?
I have not had the pleasure.
Okay. He didn't hear it, Mike. So you worked on this box. What's the craziest thing in all the Woodstock stuff that happened what's a crazy story that happened while you're putting this thing together?
You know, God, there's so many. We sat through all of this stuff and we listened to all of these things and, you know, periodically we were still finding tape last fall that we'd never been through of stage announcements and things like that. And you get to kind of great moments that a lot of my interest in this is because there's been so much kind of myth and legend and fakery built up on top of Woodstock for 50 years. I'm kind of bound and determined to scrape away as much of that myth as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Just to kind of to keep it real and to sort of, you know, essentially I tell people if we're going to agree that maybe this was an important thing and maybe we want to think about it in the future or maybe it's historical, we should at least know what the real history was. Mm-hmm. Right. So, occasionally you find bits and pieces of stuff like I didn't bring it. I should have brought it. Like, there's a moment where somebody's talking about insect bites from the stage.
Okay.
And John Morris, who's the announcer at that point in the concert, kind of says, how you guys doing? You getting bit? And nobody really is. There's this kind of a low murmur. Nobody's particularly having it. And this is mid-August in central New York. And he's like, yep, that's because the craziest little guy you ever saw flew over here the other day and sprayed this whole place. Right. Like, there's no bugs. Yeah. And, you know, we think about Woodstock as the idyllic garden-like, you know, it happened on Max Yasgur's farm. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so everybody there was coated in toxic DDT much.
They just got a blast of DDT flew over by a crop duster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why you're welcome. Did he say that in the thing? That's right, everybody. We double-dosed all of it with DDT. You're welcome.
Yeah, no, the tone, he's delighted. He's just, well, we fixed that problem for you.
Yes. And now just get ready for that third eye to grow on your head.
Yeah. Well, you know, babies were theoretically born, allegedly, at Woodstock. Yes. So,
now, this Woodstock thing, some people are like, Woodstock sucks. What do you say to that?
I say, you're an idiot. You're dead wrong. You couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, what if somebody's just like, look, man, Neil Young's great, obviously. Nobody's arguing with that. Crosby had his moments.
Yeah.
But Crosby, Stills, and Nash blow. What would you say to that person?
I would say, let's sit down and listen to Canned Heat. Uh-huh. That's what I would say.
So you're just saying it's like you don't know where the floor is what you're saying. You don't know where the basement is.
No. Canned Heat or the Acme. That's as good as it gets. Canned Heat are like.
On and down to the country.
Yeah. I mean, that's good, by the way. That's really good.
On and down to the country.
What's the other one? Right?
Right.
Going down to the country, got to get away.
Is that the song, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, and that's a really good Alan Wilson impression.
What was it? Alan Wilson.
Alan Wilson.
I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, he was kind of the genius of Canned Heat.
Okay.
And Bob the Bear Height is the guy that everybody recognized, the large Falstaffian dude who's got the more growly voice.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Canned Heat that nobody in 2019 remembers or understands is that they were like the Velvet Underground. They were a pulverizing, unbelievably loud and propulsive live rock band.
So you're telling me if I go buy this huge box set, I'm going to hear Canned Heat and I'm going to get my head crushed by it.
Kinda, yeah.
Because this is what I'll say about Woodstock. When I was talking about that thing with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, I said, that was me asking that. That was me. That was me. Because this is what I'll say. Look, Neil Young, he's untouchable. Top of the pyramid. Crosby, yeah, right. He had I wish I could remember my name and a couple other things. He did some good, his Birds stuff is unimpeachable. Stills is no rocket scientist. This is a guy who wiped a Jimi Hendrix solo off of his record so he could put his own steel drum solo on it. Imagine this. You get this is Stephen Stills. Jimi Hendrix is like, hey, want me to play a guitar solo on your record? Yeah, why don't you do it? And then he goes into the studio, he records it, and then later Stephen Stills says, nah, I think I'm gonna wipe that solo and it's gonna be me playing steel drums on it instead of the Jimi Hendrix guitar solo. That's what we're talking about here. This guy's not moving the needle. What is that?
Fireworks?
What's all that sound, Mike?
I think it's fireworks because I saw a carnival on the way here.
Okay. All right, you think it's fireworks. All right. Because then I say this about Woodstock. Man, the best thing I think that happened at that whole thing is Santana. And I'm going to say, I know everybody say, Santana, they suck. Yeah, they do. 98% of their stuff is not so hot. They've been bad for decades, right? We can say that.
Sure.
Right?
But they weren't bad at Woodstock.
No, they came out of Woodstock. They were like kids, including their drummer, who was a literal kid. A 18-year-old at the point. Michael Shreve,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, it's an incredible performance. He's on fire.
Because they're doing this song. And when you think of Santana, you're just like, oh, it's Carlos Santana. That guy can play guitar. It's like, yeah. You watch this thing, Soul Survivor, they do the song. And this dude on drums is he's playing better guitar than Carlos Santana on the drums. That's how good he is. He's a better guitarist with just drums. You'd think Santana was about this drummer. If I saw them, I'd be like, well, what, the drummer's name is Santana then? I'd be like, no, it's a guitar player. What? Because it's like, bam, 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 brr, brr, brr. Oh, my God, it's the best thing ever.
Can you do an impression of Jingo now?
Of what now?
Jingo. Jingo, ba ba lo, ba ba lo, ba ba lo, ba.
Well, you just did it.
Okay.
That was
well,
good.
No, you do it with the drums. Come on.
No, I can't. I only do Soul Survivor.
There is Brian Kehew, my brilliant friend and engineer who mixed nearly everything on all of this on the box and all the other stuff.
You don't have to give him credit.
It's
your night.
But Brian's great. No,
enough
he's,
of Brian. No, Brian. I'm so tired of Brian Kehew.
Brian is cool.
Oh, what a snooze.
Right? Mary, I was telling you before the show, if he comes in here and starts talking about Brian Kehew, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be so in the flesh.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what you said.
Wow.
Okay. So, Brian, I'll let I'm going to allow you one Brian Kehew story.
Okay. Wow, that's impossible. But I will just say that he's, you know, I always think of him, he's the world's greatest archival mixing engineer because he can forge any sound.
Okay.
You know, it depends on, you know, a lot of people when they do projects like this, they just kind of mix it. And they don't really think about what it is. They just kind of go, well, it's 2019. I'm mixing some stuff from 1916. Yeah. I don't care. I'm just going to mix it now. But that's not how Brian works. Brian actually thinks back through how would they have mixed it? What would the actual technique they would have used, you know, been on this stuff? How would they have EQ'd this? How would they have made it sound? And, you know, and he can do that whether it's something from 1969 or 1958 or 1985.
Sure.
He can fake all of it in a sense. And that's kind of why he's brilliant. And now I'll shut up about Brian Kehew.
No. That's enough. we get it. He's good.
He's good.
So he's mixing this thing.
Yeah.
And he's like making it feel like it's alive, but still not, it's still in 69.
Right. No, it all feels really real. I'd say that to you about Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Mm-hmm. I mean, not my favorite band in the universe either. I can
because Young's not even on this thing.
Oh, he is. Neil kept himself out of the picture quite literally. He wouldn't let the cameras film him.
Okay.
The first half of the set is just the three of those guys, and the second set has Neil, and they go electric. Mm-hmm. Although he's mostly playing organ. Stills is actually the guy playing electric on that half of the set. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, you know, again, these are not my favorite guys in the whole universe, Neil accepted, but Stills sounds kind of almost, I don't want to create unrealistic expectations, but he has a couple of Tom Verlaine-y moments, kind of like Tom Verlaine's weird uncle might have sounded.
Okay. Tom Verlaine's weird uncle.
Yeah.
This is the other reason that Stills is not he's not a rocket scientist. He's in this band, Buffalo Springfield, and he's fighting with this guy, Neil Young, in the band. And this guy, Neil Young, they're fighting for credit, and it's a battle, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, I can't take this guy anymore. So he goes off. He starts his own band, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, right? Mm-hmm. And then they are huge, enormous. It blows up. And this dunce, the first thing he says is, what if I invite that guy, Neil Young, to be in the band? Because that's my band now, and he will follow my orders. And he'll finally learn what it's like to work for Stephen Stills. So then they do, and then the band becomes 100 times bigger with Neil Young in it, and suddenly Neil Young's in charge of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And suddenly he's like, I don't feel like playing on this one. And suddenly they're playing at a car wash, because Young won't show. They play at a football stadium when Young shows up. They're playing at a supermarket parking lot without Neil Young there. He did it to him twice. Why? Why would he cede control of two bands to this guy? It's fascinating. And look, I know you're probably tight with him.
No. No, actually. I'm okay with not being tight with him.
Sure. Who did you become tight with through this experience? What people did you cross paths with?
It's interesting. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people. That's been one of the great pleasures of this, is sitting down recently and kind of asking people about their experiences. Mm-hmm. And people remember more than you would think. I mean, the cliche version is, oh, I can't remember, I was too high, or brown acid got me, or something. But not really true. People have great stories to tell about this. So I've sat down with Jack Cassidy and Jorma Kaukonen from the Jefferson Airplane the other week. They were totally amazing. Heroes of mine for like my entire life.
Sure.
It was fantastic.
After bathing at Baxter's, Mono Mix, that's the high point for me.
That's like one of my five favorite records of all time. Always.
See, Mike?
Wait. Does Mike,
calm down, Mike.
Does Mike not like After Bathing at Baxter's?
He likes Surrealistic Pillow
well,
better.
I mean, that's a fine record, but it's not After Bathing at Baxter's.
You don't get it, Mike. You'll never get it. So you got to talk to those guys.
They were great. Really thoughtful, interesting guys, and they still, I saw them play the night before, which was fascinating. I'd never seen them in that configuration. Mm-hmm. I guess they called it an acoustic hot tuna gig. And
Mike saw them once.
Did he?
He saw them play, and they would play an acoustic set, then they would play a new wave set, then they'd play an acoustic set, then they'd play a new wave set. Oh, it was just Jorma? Okay. Jorma had a new wave band, apparently, according to Mike at one point.
I think Jack had one, too, actually. Okay. I'm not sure about Jorma, but but what was that called? There was the Cantor Balin Cassidy band.
Mm-hmm.
No, SVT, that was the new wave band that Jack Cassidy was in, I believe. Anyway, so I met them. They were great. Mm-hmm. I went to see John Sebastian yesterday. He just couldn't have been more charming and you know, kind of more generous talking about stuff. Country Joe McDonald was a fascinating guy who's got a lot to say and a lot of gravitas. I thought he was a really interesting he's really given the politics of the event a lot of thought. It was intriguing to hear from him. And I spent a whole day last week with Hugh Romney, a.k.a. Wavy Gravy.
Wavy Gravy.
Who people know from the movie because he's the guy up there and he's dressed somewhat unusually.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a hat that apparently it may have belonged to Tom Mix. No one quite knows, but
the
cowboy actor from the 40s. He's the guy up there going, good morning, What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000. Mm-hmm. I can't really do that very well. I've actually never tried to do that before, and I'm never gonna attempt that again.
Okay.
That was just a horrible mistake. I really I don't know what I was thinking. I'm done with that.
It only gets worse. Don't stop digging.
I like it.
I liked it too.
Okay. All right. Well, it was one of one.
I wish you'd do it again.
Nah, I'm never doing it again. It's never happening. Anyway, he's a fascinating guy. I mean, he goes all the way back. He's kind of like the last of the Beats.
Okay.
He made a crazy spoken word record in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
He was the opening act for Thelonious Monk when he recorded this thing. And it is the sort of ultimate stoned jazz hipster beat monologue thing. It's pre-psychedelic. It's like a record from, I don't even know when, 68, 69.
Sure.
Way ahead of the curve. And actually funny, unlike Lenny Bruce, who I don't enjoy, who kind of worked some of those same streets. Great.
Yes.
And talking to him was fascinating, and I had no idea what to expect.
Uh-huh.
You know, you sort of wonder when you meet people like this, what are they like? What do they remember? What do they want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Wavy's case, like, everything, anything and everything. He's got fantastic recall of stuff. He's really funny. And I think the funniest is one of those people underestimate him, you know, because people see this guy with, you know, the outfits and the teeth and they think, like, who is this guy? And who he actually is.
A buffoon.
Yeah.
A buffona.
But he's a, you know, he's a comic character who's actually spent most of the last 45 years, 50 years, like, doing a lot of good.
Okay.
You know, he's donates his time to a lot of charitable organizations. Mm-hmm. He runs a summer camp for the performing arts for kids, including lots of kids not of means. You know, he's a serious guy.
Mm-hmm.
Put your good where it will do good is kind of his motto that he repeated 8 or 10 times. And
put your good where it will do good. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Look, I need to hear these things twice or three times sometimes. I never said I was smart. Mary, do you have any questions about Woodstock?
Not really a question, more of a comment. Well, I just really liked what you were saying about, like, deconstructing the myth, you know, that VH1 documentaries have told us about how awesome the Summer of Love was. Because I feel like any time I've watched those, I've been like, I'm listening to a guy talk about free love, and I'm just picturing how this guy actually would have been. And all that sort of stuff, that it was probably much, much, much less magical and more annoying than it's usually depicted.
Yeah. A lot of trashy hippies.
Oh, tons.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing interviews with people lately. There's a question that I ask everybody. It came to me, and I just thought, like, yeah, it's a good question to ask, because I'm always, a lot of these people have been interviewed a lot, and they have basically been answering the same four questions for 50 years. And when you've got that kind of thing, the single best thing you can do is not ask the four questions. Ask something they haven't been asked yet, so you can kind of get an original thought response.
Sure. Like, did you think you were changing the world when you were doing the thing? That's like an
original. Right. That's an incredibly terrible question to ask. And yeah, that's the kind of thing they've been asked. So, the question I've been asking them is, what did it smell like?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And what happens when I ask the question is they laugh, first of all. Generally, I get a laugh. Uh-huh. And then they think about it for a second.
Think about it for a second and then dry heave.
And then they tell me something weird that never would have come out if I hadn't asked them the question.
Yeah.
Wade Gravy was the only guy to answer it quickly, and he was immediate.
Yeah.
Like, I said, what did it smell like? He was like, sandalwood and balsam.
Yeah, I must have been backstage. It smelled like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
no way out in that sea of mutants. That didn't smell. And look, they weren't all mutants.
A few.
Look, there's a great moment in Woodstock. This is another thing that's my favorite moment in Woodstock. Is you get this Abby Hoffman goes on stage, right? And he's like, hey, man, steal this book, or whatever he's yelling about. What is he yelling about on stage?
John Sinclair.
He's yelling about John Sinclair, which, look, is a noble cause. I'd like to support John. That's a story. That was a noble thing to support. And John Sinclair was getting jobbed by the law enforcement. But then Pete Townsend's up there, and he's just like, he clonks him on the head with his guitar, right?
Not quite. John Sebastian yesterday showed me exactly what Pete Townsend did, which was really educational and great.
Okay.
I had always thought, you know, all the descriptions of it kind of have Pete Townsend clonking him with you know, wielding it like a club or something. And I'd always sort of wondered how did that not result in like a skull fracture for Abby Hoffman?
Yeah.
That's not what it was. It was more like, I mean, Sebastian, to tell me about this, he actually picked up, went and got a guitar from the other side of the room so he could show me.
Yeah.
So Townsend kind of had the guitar and he sort of used it like a pool cue. So he kind of pointed the headstock of the guitar, basically at the base of Abby Hoffman's skull.
Yeah.
And he kind of slid the guitar forward really fast in a kind of a jolting motion.
Even worse.
Thus blasting him in the head and causing him to fall off the stage. And the one thing that everybody agrees on that happened right after that is that Abby Hoffman, he just walked out through the crowd. The crowd kind of parted before him. And then he just vanished. Nobody saw him again at Woodstock.
Wow.
And then everybody's next part of the story is like, yeah, then I ran into him 4 years later in Malibu and something was going on. But yeah, so now I really know.
That's fantastic. He pool cued him.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I've never heard Mike laugh so much.
Mike's
giddy. He's giddy. I want to, is if pizza's here, this is my offer to both of you. Or either of you. You can go, if you want to go eat some pizza, you can go do that. The show's going to keep going, and you can eat it and then come back in. You just know you can do that. You can stay, obviously, but you can go have some pizza also if you want.
I'm going to do it.
Okay. Mary's going to go have some pizza.
Wow.
So, Andy, my favorite story you've ever told.
Yes.
You know it.
Oh.
It involves the geeks and a swimming pool.
Oh, the swimming pool.
And every single time you've done... been on the show, I've asked you to tell this story, and I'm not going to stop until the end of time.
Okay, no, it's a really, admittedly, really good story, and I may not have told it since the last time I was here, so I feel like I feel like it's reabsorbed a little bit of kinetic energy, so I might be able to tell it without
rote.
It's not rote. It's not like I'm not like some Woodstock guy who's only ever been asked three questions. No, it's a real story. So the story is we were doing the show, Beat the Geeks, and we were, of course, obligated to promote the show because we had signed rapacious contracts that forced us to do all kinds of humiliating stuff without being compensated properly for it. So,
such a funny story.
So, you know, it's the joy of show business, right? So,
before you go, Mike, do you remember this story? Not yet. Oh, get ready! if you thought you were laughing, because it's got every element you like in a story, Mike. Go ahead. Sorry, Andy.
Pathos, mostly pathos. But so. We were required to do these promos, and the promos were always horrible, just terrible. We were doing, you know, one time Comedy Central flew their A-list promo crew out from New York to shoot us, and they treated us like barnyard animals for an entire day. They made us stand. You remember what the set looked like on the show? It was podiums that we were supposed to be. Okay,
sure.
So they had a complicated Steadicam shot that they wanted to do with cameras tracking through the thing, with fog machines blasting smoke and crud all over the place, and they made us stand at the podiums because they were trying to get trying to get everything adjusted right, and if we moved or we weren't there, then they would lose it. So we stood at these podiums for like 4 hours, and they wouldn't let us move, and they wouldn't let us take a break. And at one point, they had hired an incredibly expensive catering company to do the craft service on this thing. And so these craft service people at one point in the proceedings, and literally if we move 2 inches, if we kind of change the weight on what foot we're kind of standing on, the AD yells at us. And the AD was this guy who looked like Billy Zane in Twin Peaks. He had an ascot, and he would just go, "Please move back to your position." So at some point, the craft service company shows up, and they're walking around with past hors d'oeuvres, like you'd have at a wedding or a bar mitzvah or something.
Okay.
Toothpicks, little bits of hot dog or sausage or something,
sure.
Or toothpicks. And they're kind of walking around to the various crew members with like, "Oh, here's your little bit of hot dog. Would you like care to dip it in the honey mustard?" Kind of thing. And everybody's kind of, "Oh, delicious, wonderful." And we're standing up there kind of waiting, figuring like, okay, well, we've been here for 4 hours. I mean, we're here too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I could handle a bite of hot dog at this. I could handle anything. And then they just kind of walked away. They just kind of walked right past us like we were invisible ghosts. That's what doing these promos was like.
Yeah.
So another day, they forced us to drive at the crack of dawn. I had to get up at 5 in the morning to do this, to drive out to, I think it was West Covina, one of your lesser Southern California suburbs.
Okay.
And because they needed a swimming pool. Because, of course, you know, Southern California, it's pretty hard to find a swimming pool. I mean, who would have such a thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Impossible.
Who could imagine a backyard pool?
It defies logic and reason.
In a place where you can swim all year long.
It's baffling, right?
So you have to trek all the way out.
Yeah, because they were trying to do it on the cheap, of course. This was after the A-list New York promo crew had come out. This was a second cycle sort of thing after the budget numbers were going down slightly. So one of the PAs who worked on the show said they had a pool at her mom's house. So we could shoot there for free, apparently. So we all trucked out to West Covina at 5:30 in the morning so we could do a hilarious, hilarious spoof of those Girls Gone Wild ads that were endemic on cable TV at that point.
Sure.
Do you want to remind our listeners?
Sure. Girls Gone Wild, if you don't know what this is, it was a series of DVDs where they would go to clubs and they would give girls free T-shirts to take their tops off and film them, and then they'd lure them back on their bus and to take all their clothes off on the bus, and they would film them. They'd be drunk, and they get them to sign a release, drunkenly sign a release, and then put this thing out for the world to see.
Nicely summarized.
Thank you.
So some genius had the idea that we were going to film Geeks Gone Wild.
Okay.
What could be funnier? So they had us out. You remember what we used to wear on the show, which were these robes.
Yes.
Which somebody in the wardrobe department had basically gone. There was a place in L.A. that it was the choir robe supply house for every church in Los Angeles. So if your church had a gospel choir, this is where you bought the robes. So they bought some surplus robes and they tweaked them and did some stitching and turned them into these things that we wore on TV that were freezing cold most of the time. Yeah. So we're out, it's like 6 in the morning and we're out on the streets in front of this house in West Covina shooting a bunch of dumb gags that the guy doing the thing had thought up. So I think there was something where somebody was throwing like an old computer keyboard at one of us was pitching the computer keyboard at one of the other of us who had a baseball bat who was trying to slam the keyboard into smithereens. And it was just,
you guys are like the Three Stooges at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it was,
hey, watch it. It was just, watch it with that computer.
It was truly horrible. I mean, it was demeaning, you know, there was
something. No, this is complete. I didn't want to say that. This is, you're being treated like, garbage.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, the weird sense of contempt that everybody at the network and kind of on the production staff had for the people who were on camera on the show was really, like, the dynamic was just strange. And the fact that it was a game show meant that we kind of had to be sequestered away from a lot of the production staff anyway most of the time, so as not to violate standards and practices rules, which is the kind of thing that gets people sent to jail if you screw up. So we didn't really get to mingle with those people, so they didn't really know us. So it was super easy for them to just treat us like these weird cartoon objects.
Yeah.
Because they'd never had a conversation with us.
Yeah.
Even though they were working 10 feet away from us and they were standing around us on the set, it was a very, really peculiar dynamic. So easy for them to think up dumb stuff like this. There was another gag where somebody had borrowed a convertible. So we're all in a convertible and we're throwing old encyclopedias out onto the street and we're supposed to be chortling with glee at the hilarious vandalism of this stupid gag. So a few more of these things. Those are the only two I remember. I think there was more. There was something that one of us refused to do that involved. Oh, right. It was supposed to be a direct parody of one of those Girls Gone Wild things where one of us was supposed to take like a 2-liter bottle of Sprite and pour it over our heads and kind of writhe around. Lubriciously.
At 6 in the morning.
Yes. So they saved.
I mean, they're just telling you to just do these things. It's just like, it's like bum fights almost.
Oh, totally.
They're not treating you like human beings.
Mm-hmm. They'd written all this. There was a script for this. I mean, there was an actual like 5-page long brief describing every single shot they were going to get. And somebody at the network had signed off on this great stuff. The notes that they kept getting from the network were, bring the funny. It's got to be hilarious. We need more hilarious comedy. That's the first word of our network's name. So it's got to be, it's a game show. Yeah. So therefore it's got to, anyway, none of it ever made sense to me. So the pièce de résistance at the end of this thing, they saved it.
This is the part, Mike. You might want to put your belt you have so you don't blow out your kidneys on this one, Mike.
It's like one of those old westerns where you give the guy the slug of whiskey and make him bite down on the leather belt and So the final thing that they asked us to shoot was they thought it would be spectacularly great and funny and hilarious and wonderful if we all jumped into a swimming pool, because that just kind of spells comedy, right?
Sure.
I mean, who has never found that amusing? Like three guys jumping into a swimming pool.
Yeah.
So,
which is such a mainstay of the Girls Gone Wild videos, is when they all jumped in swimming pools.
Yeah. So, so obviously, right. We had to do this thing. The guy who directed and wrote this thing, the funny consultant brought in for this was, I believe, a guy who had been responsible for, BattleBots. Another exciting
great
Comedy
show.
Central show. From
Yes.
The era. So he had brought some of his magic touch over to us. So the final shot was supposed to be just us jumping into the swimming pool, at which point we were going to wrap, and that was going to be the end of it at 6:55 a.m.
Okay.
So, you know, it's L.A., and it's chilly in the morning anyway, and so I don't – it was probably 60 degrees out. We've done this whole thing, and now we have to jump in a pool, and I was just kind of thinking, I don't want to jump in a pool. I mean, who wants to jump in a pool?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So – obviously this was one of those things where they weren't going to dry us off if anything went wrong. So we were going to do this once. There was going to be one shot and that would be the end of it, period. So, okay, we got ready. We rehearsed the move such as it was. So somebody rolled tape and called 1, 2, 3 and we all jumped in the pool. And The thing about the pool was no one had told us that the PA's mom, who was letting us shoot in her backyard, that she hadn't heated the pool. So the pool was freezing cold.
Yeah.
Completely and utterly freezing cold.
Sure.
So it was a kind of a horrible shock to the system the minute I entered the water.
Yeah.
Just wasn't ready for this even remotely. And the second and more critical thing that no one had thought to mention or disclose during all of this was that the pool was unchlorinated and unmaintained, and that it had been just allowed to stand open for, I don't know, months, years. I have no idea. So it was basically – it was a birdbath. It was a gigantic bird bath. And the shock of the cold water jumping into this thing, not knowing about the other part of this, you know, it's one of those things where you just squinch up, you tighten, and my mouth opened, and some of this horrible bird bath water entered my mouth and drizzled, dripped down my throat, and then we were supposed to splash around. We were supposed to splash each other for a couple of minutes, which I guess we fitfully did. Even though I'm sure the other guys were probably thinking the same thing, which was like, wow, this is cold. This is really horrible. So we did the dumb splashing, and then they were like, great, wonderful, guys, fantastic. You can get out of the pool now. So we got out of the pool, and somebody handed me a towel. And literally, this is 45 seconds after I'm out of the water, I can already feel my throat is burning. Just burning like I've just swallowed a toxic waste dump. Just something absolutely nightmarishly horrible. And by 2 hours later, by the time I had dried off, changed into whatever I had brought to change into, and been given half of a dry Subway sandwich, which was what the craft service was that day at the PA's mom's house, and driven back to civilization on my end of Los Angeles, I was running a fever.
Immediately, your body's trying to fight this.
Trying to fight this thing. And by mid-afternoon, I'm running 102-degree fever. I'm burning up with whatever the spirochetes or whatever was kind of like marinating in this thing, the super bug, the C. difficile, I don't know, whatever it was just having its way with me. And by the following morning, I was nearly dead. I mean, I just felt like the fever hadn't broken. It was miserable. And I had to go shoot 5 more episodes of Beat the Geeks the day after that. So I went. I have this doctor in LA who has a strong rock and roll pedigree. His brother was Danny Sugarman, the guy who used to manage the Doors and who wrote the biography and who wrote his own kind of tell-all book about rock and roll, whatever. And it's a fascinating rock and roll doctor's office where you can kind of tell from who's got the most platinum records on the wall, who had the worst coke problem.
Okay.
I go see him and I try to explain, I've lost my voice. I can't talk. And he's like, yeah. Okay. Right. Voice, talk. Yes. I got this. So he shot me up with some antibiotics and I said, well, what about the voice? And he's like, oh, this is what I gave Springsteen before he went on stage at Dodger Stadium and he couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. So here, this will work on you. It's some crazy steroid pill. So I took it, and yes, within 24 hours, I still felt like death, but my voice had returned enough for me to actually get through the next 5 episodes of the show, which I have no memory of shooting at all. And that's the story of that's the Geeks Gone Wild story.
Yeah. You almost killed getting shoved into a giant bird bath, basically.
Yes.
With no regard for you.
Yeah. Nobody said like, hey, you guys okay?
Yeah.
How was that?
I just love that they just looked at you guys as if you were just not people.
The most dehumanizing experience I have ever had.
That is so funny. Andy, I'm going to take some calls if you want to take a break and I'll bring you back in. How about that?
Sure. That'd be lovely.
And everybody, where do you get the box set?
Oh, the big box. Well, the small stuff is available at fine record stores, assuming you can find one or online or whatever. The really big box is only available rhino.com/Woodstock50, I believe is the address. You can go there.
Okay.
The sticker shock will shock you, but that's that.
All right. But it's you're either all in or you're not all
exactly.
in.
Exactly. What price quality?
Thank you. And Andy, it's so nice that you're here and we'll bring you back in.
Fun. It's great.
Oh, it's so nice to see you again. Let's take a couple calls and then we'll keep the show moving here. Best show. Hello. What?
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, you're on. Hi, how are you?
How are you, Tom?
I'm good. I'm good. Who's this?
This is AJ.
AJ. Where are you calling from, AJ?
Woodstock, New York.
What?
Yes.
You're calling from Woodstock? What's going on in Woodstock tonight? Got a little bit of that stinky Yankee. Right? You got the good, right? A little bit of the old.
I'm drinking.
You know what I mean.
No, I can't handle that stuff.
Okay.
I just drink vodka and cranberries.
Okay, so you got some vodka and cranberry. And what's going on, AJ?
Well, I'm having a party this weekend for my dear friend Andy. And he's a renowned local punk rock promoter. And it's going to be I'm setting up a karaoke situation.
Yeah.
In my
I wish I could come, buddy. I wish I could do it. I can't drive 7 hours to do karaoke.
It's not 7 hours. Maybe 4.
4. I can't drive. I'm supposed to drive 4 hours to do karaoke?
We have a guest house. You can come, you can stay over.
Is this why you called, really, to ask me to come do karaoke?
No. I'm trying to think of songs that I have my go-to regular karaoke songs that I go to all the time.
What's your go-to song at karaoke, AJ?
Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
All right, that's a good one.
Yep. And I have a couple others.
Mm-hmm.
I do Delilah by Tom Jones.
Sure.
And, Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Sure.
A heartbreaker.
Do you edit it? Do you edit it or you say the hate word?
I made you the mistake
you
of.
You sound like a.
I did. I did. Like, I did yeah. that in front of my mother.
Stop! Stop! Huh? Can you stop with that?
My mother gave me some hell about
good.
That. Yeah.
Good. I'm on your mother's side on this. So, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call, AJ?
So I'm trying to think of new songs. Like I'm racking my brain for songs that I could possibly.
Okay.
Add
I'll help you
to
out.
My repertoire. And it's just a very specific scenario here, and then I'm trying to think of some things. That
okay.
I could, you know.
Okay. Here's one you do. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Right. Cocked my head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since he laughed at you. He said you know to do what you want to do. Oh, man, I know what you hoodwink. Then make it stop. Think you think you're looking at Aquaman, right? I summon fish to the dish because I like the shelly switch because the sushi never touch a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust, right? You can do that one. Big like Leanne rhymed because I'm all about value. Bert Kampfer's got the mad hits. You try to match wits. You try to hold me, but I bust through. You could do that, right?
I could.
Do that.
I don't like that song.
Well, you don't have to like all of them. Then do True by Spandau Ballet.
Oh, yeah. That's
make good, everybody cry. Make everybody cry.
I have that on, I believe I have that on vinyl. I'm going to look.
All right.
And see. Then I can listen to that thing. It's a punk rock / redneck combo. The stage for the karaoke is going to be outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like next to an outdoor kitchen and bar.
You should put some meat around the thing and see if you get some wolves to come on stage.
There are coyotes. We do hear coyotes.
Well, you should get them on stage. Hang some meat off the mic. See if you get a coyote to come up and chomp it.
We can do some backup singing, maybe.
Yeah. All right, buddy. It sounds like you're going to have a great time.
Listen, you know, Tom, you're always invited.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Best show, hi.
Hello?
Hello, hi. Who's this?
My name's Steph Wolf.
Steph, how are you?
I'm good. Who am I talking to?
Oh, you're talking to Tom.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
I know. What's going
on? I'm Steph from Santa Cruz.
What's that now?
I forgot to say it right. I'm Steph from Santa Cruz.
Steph from Santa Cruz. What's up, Steph?
Well, I emailed you a little while back, maybe a month ago, because my boyfriend's birthday is tonight.
Yeah.
And I want you to wish him a happy birthday.
I wish I could. I just can't. I really wish I could. I'm so sorry. Because if you do it for you, then I got to do it for everybody. Now, what is his name? What's his name?
His name is Dibson T. Hoffweiler.
Hold on. That's not his name. let me write this down. Dibson, D-I-B-S-O-N,
T. S-O-N, T, and Hoffweiler.
Am I saying it to him, or are you going to play it for him later?
Well, he's actually having dinner with his friends right now. He called your show, too, but he had to get off because... He's having dinner
because
it's his birthday.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. Happy birthday. Hold on, wait. Hold on, wait. Oh. Happy birthday, Dibson T. Hoffweiler. It's going to be a good one. Have a great time. Not sure why you went out with your friends and not your girlfriend tonight for dinner, but it's your birthday, dude. Happy birthday.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Of course. You have a great night.
Bye.
Bye. Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, my goodness. As I live and breathe, I know who this is. Well, this is Jason from Alabama, from Huntsville, Alabama.
It is.
And this is a guy who we all know... Look, this show has a lot of Yankees listen to this show, right? Right? You know what I mean. But
them.
Bump, 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 bump. The night they drove old Dixie down, right? And all the bells were ringing, singing. You could do that, right? Sing. No?
No.
So what's going on, Jason, from Alabama? Because this guy, he flies the flag for Alabama properly. He's a good guy, a good guy. And I'm so happy that he calls the show because he's a good guy.
Well, thank you, Tom.
So what's going on tonight?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a journalist. I'm on staff at a publication called Twitter.
Okay.
So I am a journalist.
You
I have
are,
a column
yeah.
there. I have a short column.
Yes. Oh, a short column. How many? Yeah. How many characters would this column be?
Well, they actually used to be smaller.
Okay.
They doubled my space.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah.
That's a promotion.
Thank you. Yeah. So as a journalist, I wanted to call back and give you an update on a story that I've reported on
Twitter
the last time I spoke with you.
Okay. And what is the story?
Well, there was a squirrel. You may remember me calling you about a messed up squirrel when you were in Los Angeles.
I do remember. I remember Tim Heidecker was giving you a hard time. You couldn't get a word out.
Yeah, that's fine. He's earned it.
So go ahead. What's up with the squirrel?
Oh, and you got a stacked show tonight, too, by the way.
And it's not done yet. I think there's another person here still.
I don't know if I can stand it.
I know. I don't think I can. I think I might leave.
So here's the other. I want to be very accurate about the squirrel. I want to present both sides of the story.
Okay.
So the squirrel owner, while he was on the lam from the cops, he took to Facebook Live. He was calling the radio shows. He's kind of like Turk 182.
He's Turk 182 in it.
Yeah, he was like the man trying to be like a folk hero.
Sure.
So he wanted to set the record straight that his squirrel was not on meth.
Yes.
And I'm going to clean this up a little bit.
Okay.
But his quote was, "He's just an a-hole. The squirrel's just an a-hole."
Well, look. Hey, man. It's not my place to judge a squirrel.
Well, that's what his owner said. And he loved the squirrel. He had the squirrel with him.
And
he said he went. So,
go ahead. Sorry.
So the police let the squirrel go.
Uh-huh.
And he said that after the police left, he went back to the scene of the crime, and the squirrel was up in a tree, scared to death, because he says this squirrel was born in his house, and he's had the squirrel since it was born, and the squirrel has never been outside, and the squirrel was terrified. And he says that the squirrel came down out of the tree and got on his shoulder in his truck, and he drove off with the squirrel. And he had a squirrel with him in the video. I don't know if it was the squirrel or if he got another squirrel.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But anyway, they caught the dude. He is now in jail. I don't know where the squirrel is.
I'm going to assume I'm going to guess that the squirrel is in the woods somewhere. It's just a guess. I'm going out on a limb. The squirrel is outside somewhere
where squirrels are supposed to be. The squirrel may have turned state's evidence on this guy.
Yeah. Look.
After the a-hole remark.
Yeah. You don't say that. The squirrel's like,
no.
I thought we were friends. Mike.
But I just went.
No, go ahead, Jason.
No, I just wanted to present both sides of the story.
Well, I appreciate you. You've shown nothing but respect for this squirrel.
Yes.
You're nothing if not fair.
Right. Well, we live in a very divided country.
We do, and that's why I want to tell everybody that the way we can all unite is tomorrow at noon, right? We're all going to sing Yellow Submarine at the same time. Everyone in America is going to sing Yellow Submarine, and then we'll all look at each other and laugh and go, what were we doing?
Right.
We all know that song sucks. Everybody's going to be like, that song sucks, right? Yeah, it does suck. Can you believe that's a Beatles song? I know, right? And then we'll all be united again.
Right.
You're a sweet guy, Jason. Thank you for the
call. Oh, that's all I got. Anyway, I hope y'all have a good night.
You too. You have a grand evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, Mike. Is anybody else here? All right. Well, is a guest here? A mystery surprise? Not mystery guest, but an additional a bonus guest? Oh, yeah. That's the answer right there. Hi. How are you? You can sit in that chair right there. Do you know who Alice Wetterlund is, Mike? Well, you just met her. She's a very funny person. Very funny. A great entertainer. Everybody.
He didn't say anything to me.
What's that?
He didn't say anything to me.
Who, Mike?
Yeah. We haven't met.
He's weird.
I realize now that I'm saying this, I'm going to have to go face him.
Oh, no, you can't. You're going to have to. He blocks the door. You can't not face him now. Hey, Mary. You 5 minutes, you come back in. 7 minutes. Seven if it's going poorly. Eight if it's going great. Or something
like
that.
You keep changing it.
So I want to say, first of all, Alice Wetterland, yes. I am a fan of yours. You're so funny.
Oh, my God.
Where do people know you
the
from
honor.
The first time they go, oh, I know you from The Thing. What's the thing they know you from?
Girl Code is a big one.
Girl Code, which is your one of your first big
my
jobs.
My first big job.
Yeah.
Reached a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Big audience.
Okay.
Did not get paid a lot of money for that.
Sure. What?
Yeah.
Wait. But it was an MTV show.
Yeah, that's right.
And they didn't pay you a lot of money?
It's crazy, but guys, they don't pay at that place. And I remember I got really a lot of Instagram followers, and then one time I posted a picture of my cat, because he jumps in the bathtub sometimes, and I posted a picture of my cat, and somebody on Instagram was like, your bathroom sucks, why do you live a poor way?
Uh-huh. And then you just...
And I was like, you don't get it.
You say, They're like, but you're a producer on the show.
Yeah,
that's always the great thing on like those Viacom shows. Like,
yeah.
I guess nobody wrote this thing, but there's 16 producers on it.
Yeah, no, I was a writer, so.
Yeah. So people know you from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know you from Silicon Valley.
Yes.
Right?
Silicon.
Yes, where you were very funny.
Thank you.
And should have stayed.
Thank you.
I wanted you to stay.
I know. A lot of people say that
yes.
about me when I leave. Thanks.
Because it was the kind of thing where it's like, you know, they could have had a woman in the thing.
Yeah.
And there's five guys.
Yeah.
And
but they actually, what's interesting about it is they couldn't.
That they literally couldn't. You just, it was just
could
one too many.
Could not handle it.
Yeah, there was just one too many.
Yeah, they didn't want me there, so.
Uh-huh. Well, we don't have to talk about that if you don't want.
Yeah.
But it was, you were great on, that's the first time I think I saw you do things.
That's the thing people recognize me from.
Yeah.
I was in this great movie, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, that didn't get very much, it wasn't very popular, I guess, but it was really a fun time, and I loved my character from it.
That movie.
It was a real cut 'em up.
Yeah.
Situation.
Adam Devine.
Oh, I love Adam Devine.
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron's amazing.
This is how we do it. Remember when they did that dance at the end?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, let's do a dance number on top of this whole rest of this movie.
So that, and then People from People of Earth
mm-hmm.
is another show.
Yeah.
And where did that shoot? Toronto?
Oh, that was in Toronto, sir.
Oh, that was
yes.
When? What months did you shoot that
Well,
in?
We never were there in the cold.
Okay.
It was always nice uh-huh. out, so it uh-huh. was great.
Okay, because I worked on a television show shot there in October and November and December.
Yeah.
That was... It was more cold than what you're talking about.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But it was at night. Everything was a night shoot, though. So that's, don't worry.
Go.
It always filmed at night.
I'm shooting a new show that's based in a ski town.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the snow, but we are shooting in November in Vancouver.
And what is
so
that
I'll
show?
It's called Resident Alien. It's another alien TV show
okay.
starring this guy,
uh-huh.
Alice Wetterland.
Yes. Cause you like, aliens.
I guess I do.
Because you also like the thing with this podcast you did. What's the podcast? I listen to it a lot.
You do?
I do.
It's called Treks in the City.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's really
and it
funny.
Has 4.5 stars on iTunes. And I'm always like, you think that's good? It's like either five or bust. If somebody.
No.
Yeah.
It shows it's real. If you got five, it seems fake.
Maybe.
4.5
makes
it look
real. I love what
we
do.
4.5 is the perfect number because it's just like, well, it's clearly not rigged because
it's. That's a good point.
Somebody gave it a 4.
That's a good point. Yeah. And I agree with all the bad reviews. So, like, that's cool.
And
I just agree with the good ones.
And this Treks in the City, it's you.
Me.
And your friend Veronica.
Veronica Osorio.
And you guys. Go over episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Each episode of your show is an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Did anyone offer you a beverage by any
chance? I was offered so many beverages.
Okay, good.
They wouldn't let me walk through the room.
All right, good. So, and it's really funny, and I got to do the show when I was in Los Angeles. It was very, I had so much fun.
It was great.
Doing it.
You were great on it. Well, what a good get.
When
a
does
get
that
for
come
us.
Out? When does that come out?
I don't know.
Who knows?
You know, some of them are just for us, Tom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that was not, one for public
consumption. Yeah, that's an audience of two.
Oh, well that's
fine.
Yeah,
keeping it in the can.
Yeah.
And then next you've week, got it. I don't know.
Just check. You'll find it. Right? People will find it. No, you've heard it. You can hear it anytime you want.
Yeah.
No, it's stop. That's
don't I have a Mary?
No, you don't have to.
You don't know. I might have my own Mary out there.
You don't have a Mary out there. No, who did you bring with you?
Don't.
Who's out there?
My uncle.
Your uncle?
Yeah.
What's his deal?
He's a Jersey City resident.
Really?
Yeah. He lives out here. He's an artist.
Uh-huh.
Is he cool? He's the coolest uncle anybody's ever had.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's pretty cool.
I don't know.
I always bring him out. He's like my trophy uncle.
Mm-hmm. Your trophy uncle. You can kind of rub him in everybody's face.
Yeah. No big deal.
You wish you had an uncle half as cool as my uncle. Does he want to come in?
He sure does. I mean, I don't actually know that, but I bet he does.
What's his name?
His name's Roger.
Roger! Like the alien on American Dad.
Exactly.
Right?
I definitely know that reference.
Which one's your favorite of, if you were to rank everyone on American
Dad?
Hey. Hey, how are you?
Look how cool he is.
It is cool. I'm like, this dude's not your uncle.
And he's the cool skateboarding dude. He's skateboarded in here for the listeners who didn't watch.
Yeah, you're way too. You can put some headphones on.
You can have headphones.
There they are.
Yeah, he's got a show as well. He's got a... It's like a podcast, but it's a radio show, right?
Hmm? Oh.
Your show?
No, it's not a podcast. It's a radio.
It's a radio show. Yeah. I said it's like a podcast,
but it's a radio show. With Amanda, I do the kid show on FMU, the Saturday morning.
Yeah, okay.
Double recess.
Yeah, of course. It's like it's
cool
a ringer,
dude.
This is like a ringer.
I know. We travel in packs. We're just winners.
So Alice is your niece.
Yeah,
Alice is my niece.
Yeah.
I just met her tonight, but that's
oh, shut up.
So that's not
hey, man, come on. You get the party. You're going to get your 75 if you play it cool.
This isn't some weird uncle. Is he really your uncle?
I met him on Trunkle. It's an app.
See, now I feel like I'm being tricked.
It's an app where you get uncle. You connect with uncles in your area.
Uncles
he's my
uncle
real
types.
Uncle, my stepdad's brother.
Okay.
So that's why we don't really look alike.
So he's
we are both white.
Step-uncle.
My step-uncle, yeah.
Step-uncle.
Step-uncle.
Right?
We've never used that.
Yeah.
It's your step-uncle.
Yeah.
I'll have it now. Step-uncle.
So, hey, Mike, how much pizza's left out there? Make sure there's some for me. Good. Good. There's a lot left.
I brought a salad if you want it.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Okay. you have to bring gifts.
Well, that's very sweet of you, Al. So you also have a stand-up thing coming out, don't you?
That's correct. On Amazon Prime, no workers were harmed in the making or the release of my special, I think. It's called My Mama is a Human and So Am I.
Okay.
It's coming out on August 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch it.
I can.
If you got that Prime, baby.
But if you don't have the Prime, you're just like, SOL.
Well, there'll be a way.
Sure.
If you don't have the Prime. In fact, there are CDs I can send to you.
You go to Best Buy and you just kind of load it up.
Maybe.
Right?
It'll be passed out on USBs.
Okay, yes. You're going to
I'm going to design an escape room where the prize is.
Sure. You're going to paper the, right?
Wouldn't I love to wheat paste?
Well, you ever hear Andy Candler when he's just like, they papered the room. Like he's always talking about, because stand-up comedy is so interesting, first of all.
Well,
I
want to
know
me.
Every part of it.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
Why is every show about it?
Ooh, that's a shots fired over here.
Is Resident Alien about stand-up comedy?
No. Oh, I see. Like every TV show.
Yes. No, not every.
Yeah, and it's hard to make a TV show about stand-up that makes sense. You know, it's mostly just about, it's like, I feel like it's like, you're not creative enough to make a show about something, so you're like, it's about me doing stand-up! You're like,
can
well,
you believe
okay.
It?
But in this one, I get laid a lot.
Yes.
You're like, all right, well.
Yeah. Mary? Come on in, Mary. This is the going well part. You can still come in. Did you know Mary? Do you know Mary Houlihan?
I didn't know her before.
She's so funny.
Hey.
Mary's the coolest. Until now.
Until now.
Until now.
Whoa.
Alice is like the West Coast U.
Really?
Yeah.
He
well, you can swing that.
Swing over?
Swing that goes to
Scooch
uncle.
To me.
Yeah. and then Mary.
So many chords in here.
Yeah.
Chords are what I call podcasting nerds.
Well, first of all, this is not a podcast. It's a live. This is it's a radio.
Because people happening can call.
That we do podcasts.
Yeah. If it was a podcast, it'd be amazing because then people would call in and they'd know when somehow.
They just wouldn't know what they were participating in.
Or you'd have a pre-recorded call-ins that uh-huh. And you're like, leave space for it sounds like when I'm talking.
Okay.
And then you're just, it's a good idea.
Look, these are your forever dog tactics. take those back to forever dog. Everybody was so nice at forever dog. That guy Brett is a nice guy.
Brett Boehm. Yeah. He's a wonderful person. Yeah.
And yet nobody respects him.
That's the fucked up part.
Okay.
Well, it helps him stay nice.
We don't super curse on the show also.
Oh, we don't super curse.
Yeah. Okay. We act like it's a radio show, even though we don't get in trouble for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
Try to just keep it fun.
Okay.
That's okay.
Fun,
it's okay
not
that you did.
Fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Boop.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Look, make like you're on... People of Earth.
I would love to be on People of Earth.
Yes.
Other radio show.
And then people know you from a TV commercial too, right?
Several TV commercials. Yeah.
Like which one? The Pepsi one is a big one?
Yes. The Super Bowl ad.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Because you were in it with Steve Carell.
And I was in it with Cardi B. Big fan of Cardi B. And I got to meet her.
That's crazy.
And I didn't think I was going to get to meet her. Mm-hmm. And then this is how self-absorbed I am. She walked in. And I thought, for some reason, she wasn't in my part of the spot, so I wasn't going to film with her. Mm-hmm. But I had told my agents, I told my manager, I told the casting director, I told everybody how much I wanted to meet and was a fan of Cardi B. So when she walked in, I was like, oh, they brought her in to meet me. And as she walked by, I was like, oh, hi. And then she kept walking, and I was like, hi, I'm so dumb. why would this human being be at work? And then want to come meet me,
Well, you did. Did you meet her though properly?
Yeah, because we sat across the table from each other.
That's right.
I told her that she's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
She got very bashful. It was pretty cute.
Well, look, it doesn't hurt when you tell people they're genius. Wouldn't kill you every once in a while.
Noted.
Only have you on, and
Christmas is just around the corner.
Yes, Mary, I think you're a genius.
I think you're a genius.
Well, that's cheapened, though.
No.
Because you only said it back to me. Oh, you know who's really a genius, though?
Who?
Alice Wetterland.
Oh.
Very funny.
Oh.
And you do the pot. Everybody should check out Treks in the City. And the City.
It's Treks and the City.
Because it's not in the city.
Yeah, because it's Sex
and
the
city.
So it's Treks and the City.
Yes. Now, with Sex and the City, right?
Yeah.
What are you? Because I'll tell you who I am.
Okay.
First of all, guess what you think I am. Guess who you think I am. Who do I... Major and minor in one. How about that?
Okay, I would say your sun sign is in Miranda.
Okay.
And your rising sign is Carrie.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm going to say you are... Steve...
You don't get to be a Steve.
You're like Steve.
That's a really big compliment.
Right?
Steve's
cool.
I'm a Carrie aspiring Miranda.
Hey, Miranda. I thought we'd go get pizza. Miranda, what are we doing?
Come on. You're the one.
You want to just hang out?
Oh, Debbie's great, but you're the one.
You know, I'm just trying to. I mean, I thought maybe I could move in. We could live together. Right?
Steve. Oh.
I mean, come on, Miranda.
I just got this haircut that's like a haystack. I can't.
You look great. You look great, Miranda.
Steve, I can't be a lawyer and have feelings.
I mean, what, Miranda? Can we just move in?
Can we move in?
He's
always got a cold.
I want to just go good.
He was the cutest husband.
And then, but what's his face suck? Mr. Big,
Mr.
right?
Mr. Big's no good.
I play the Sex in the City slot machine, right? And I'm really good at it. And then, like, if you get, like, 3 rings, I think suddenly you go to the bonus, and then the video it plays, and, like, then it's like Chris Noth is like, congratulations, kid.
You sound just like him. That's so creepy.
And then it's like, he's like, pick a dress.
Oh my God, you sound exactly like Chris Noth in Sex and the City.
Really?
Yes. Maybe it's only in short spurts, but it's for me, it's like the dead on.
How's it going, kid?
Okay, I'll do my best, Carrie. This is an outfit.
Looks great, kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking good, kid.
Is this not a radio play?
Yeah. You got to be kidding me. Hold on. Mike is telling me Yakov Smirnoff is on line 5. Hello. Hi, best show.
Hey, Yakov here. How are you?
I'm good. This is an honor, sir. First of all, let me say thank you for calling the show, and we appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. You tweeted, and I got the tweet.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. And I feel like I'm in North Korea, and I get the tweet, and I go, okay, sure, let's do it.
Now, Yakov Smirnoff, you are a famous comedian, and you started your career in Los Angeles. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
At the Comedy Store.
Correct. Correct.
And you lived at the legendary, the house that was behind the Comedy Store. And who was...
That's correct.
Your roommate was who?
Andrew Dice Clay.
That's right. And what was that like? A young Yakov Smirnoff and a young Andrew Dice Clay in the 80s now making their way through the comedy scene.
Andrew was teaching me English.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew all the nursery rhymes.
So you got, that's how you learned English, was through the nursery
rhymes. That's right.
Rhymes.
That's right.
Well, you had a great teacher.
Yes.
For that.
Yes. Yes.
And now, then when was the first thing where when people were like, I like this guy, Yakov Smirnoff? What was the first thing?
I think it was Miller Lite commercial.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. In America, you can always find a party. In Russia, a party always finds you.
That's right. I remember.
Yeah.
And that, who are you in with? Because I'm here with, we have a couple comedians in studio.
We
have
cool.
Alice Wetterland, who's a very popular West Coast comedian also.
Wonderful.
Hi.
And hi, how are you?
Oh, it's so nice to meet you.
Nice to
I'm
meet
a fan.
You
this
too.
Is awesome.
And thank you.
And Mary Houlihan, who is a New York comedian.
All right. So what have you been talking about?
What have we been talking about? Well, I was talking to Alice and to Mary about different things they're working on. And we were talking about with Sex and the City, because we were asking which one everybody is. And, like, are you a Miranda or are you a Charlotte? Which one are you, Yakov? Yakov, which one would you
be? Settle this one once and for all.
I have one in mind. I think I know.
Go for it.
But who do you think you are? Do you have one?
I don't.
You don't
have one.
I don't know if I can relate. Yeah.
I think Yakov is—he's kind of a Charlotte.
Uh huh. Yeah, sure.
He's more Carrie, and then kind of Charlotte.
Okay. Maybe more Charlotte.
I am honored. Do I need to do a sex change operation?
No,
yes,
no.
You do. Yes,
you need to do a Sex in the City change operation where you watch that show.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's not an operation either.
That's an operation I can handle.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, Mr. Smirnoff, where do people see you do comedy? Do you perform in Branson frequently?
Yeah, I have my own theater in Branson. I've been there for many years and entertain over, I don't know, 4.5 million people.
At once?
And,
that must be a pretty big theater.
It's a big theater. It wasn't even full.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
So you've been doing that for how many years?
25.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how has Branson changed since you started going there? How has it grown?
Yeah, you know, it was probably bigger in the 90s.
Okay.
Now it kind of leveled off and doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
People come from, we still have about 7 million visitors a year to come there.
Okay.
So it's good. It's a different kind of brand of, you know, they like clean, family, mm-hmm. patriotic kind of show,
mm-hmm.
and it happened to be that, you know, my show worked out for them. And for me, it was kind of an emergency landing, because after the Soviet Union collapsed, there was, David Letterman had the top 10 list of things that will now happen, that the Soviet Union no longer there, and I made number 1 on the list. Jakob Smirnoff will be out of work. Yeah, and at first I thought it was funny, but then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And I didn't get my contract renewed in Vegas, Atlantic City, Reno, Tahoe. So I started looking for a place where they did not know that the Soviet Union collapsed.
But look at you now. You're still working. You have your own theater, and David Letterman has a weird beard now. I think I'm going to say you won.
Yeah.
Yakov Smirnoff won, David Letterman zero.
Well, thank you.
Sir, I'm not going to take any more of your time. I appreciate you calling in, and it's so nice.
Thank you.
Where can people find you online?
Yakov.com would be a good place to start. And then on Twitter, it's Yakov_Smirnoff. And Instagram the same, Yakov_Smirnoff. So you can follow me. And then if you're in the West Coast, normally on Friday night, I'm at the Comedy Store.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. So we appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Very sweet. You bet. Thank you.
You have a great night.
Have a good night.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Mike, you did it.
Great job, Mike.
Cool. Mike. You magnificent bastard.
You pulled it off.
You pulled it off.
Your job is safe for another day, Mike.
Yeah. How many points? 300. 300, because there's a point-based merit system. For,
instead of pay?
In addition to pay.
Okay.
What do you think I'm running? What do you think? Is Forever point. Dog?
Ooh,
I don't remember. I don't remember getting slipped a...
What's your Venmo?
You're going to Venmo me? Brett's going to Venmo me now? No, I owe Brett. He let me record my show there, so I owe Brett big time.
That's
true. Venmo Brett.
There you go,
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mary's going to Edinburgh.
It's true.
That's awesome.
Have you been?
Oh. I heard it's like Harry Potter land.
That's what I hear.
And I have not been. No,
you gotta go.
I'm gonna try to go sometime. I've been so busy with like stuff here.
No.
She's doing her show.
I would love to go.
She has a show called Me and Jack, right? And it's about her and Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm. Really? Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, it's about me and Jack Nicholson, and it's about my true life story, you know, about how I was a vaudeville actor and then abandoned by my family and then discovered because of my amazing tap dancing and went to Hollywood and eventually met Jack and then were married for several years. And I won't spoil the end.
No. Yeah. You're going to have to go to Edinburgh to find out.
Get your tickets. Guys.
Not nuts about you popping the pee like that on Yelp.
Yep. not
nuts about it.
It's good radio.
Now, Uncle.
Yes.
Your radio show is called what now?
Double Dip Recess with Roger and Amanda.
And it's on every Saturday morning.
Yeah, 9 to 11.
9 to 11. That's the old...
Greasy Kid Stuff.
The old Greasy Kid Stuff slot. Mm. I used to like Greasy Kid Stuff. Hova and Belinda, very good people in this show.
Yeah.
You don't know
replaced
what I'm talking
by these guys.
About, right? I know, right? Look what just blew
oh,
in.
Oh, I really loved what was there before right? you.
Yeah. And here comes some driftwood rolling. Yeah.
They've been gone for a decade, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, well, then I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
No. You don't know.
I never met them, but I heard they were very nice.
I'm only 19.
Now, you grew up where now, Alice? You grew up, let me get, don't say. I'm going to see, let me see if I can guess. South Virginia? No. South Carolina?
Okay.
North Carolina?
How about this?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to you about Steph.
Oh, that's Wisconsin. That's like Wisconsin.
Neck of the woods.
Right, that's.
But I did grow up in a city.
Okay, so you grew up in.
And sister cities.
Oh, so you grew up in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, that's that. You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, great job.
Now, what's that voice you're doing?
Tom, what if you just got it from us?
Is that the Sex and the City voice?
That was a Minnesota accent.
Okay. I'm kidding. If you didn't know, like. Mike, are there any good calls here? Sure. Line four. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tommy, little Tommy. How are you?
Well, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Who's this?
This is Allie from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Allie from Somerville, Massachusetts, home of, you can say it.
You think it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, but that's Springfield.
That is, you're right. I get it wrong. I actually am wrong about what I thought it was. But Somerville, what's from Somerville? What happened at Somerville?
Somerville, Whitey Bulger is from here.
That's really a fun, little fun thing, right?
Yes.
Criminal.
Right? Yeah.
Mass murder, or like basically
mass
murder.
Well, you can think of him as like the most successful murderer.
Yeah.
So that's kind of good, I guess.
He did it right.
He did it a lot.
I wanted to say hi to Mary and Andy if he's still there as well.
Andy, we're going to bring back in a second.
Well.
And Mary's here and Alice is here. Alice Wetterland, who's
that's
very
okay. Fun. I know I'm never going to be Andy.
Hello, Alice.
Alice, do you like Star Trek, Allie? Allie, do you like Star Trek The Next Generation? Because Alice does a show where she recaps the episodes.
Oh, right. That looks really cool. You know, I never got into Star Trek.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm kidding.
But you can listen to
you can. It's mostly us just jibber-jabbering about.
You know, I saw a picture of it and I thought, like, I'd like to listen.
It's real funny.
To it.
So what else? Allie, what's up?
You know who I am, right? I gave you some fan art.
I think so, right? I know who you are.
The purple crayon fan art?
Oh, yeah. No, it's right here. The one of me and Harold and the purple crayon.
It is framed.
Love it.
It's sitting, awesome. It's 3 feet away from me. Thank you so much for that, Allie.
Hey, you're welcome.
It's my favorite book, Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Sure,
someday
good
I'll
one.
Finish it. I'm not a big reader.
It's dense.
Very dense. I like to look at the pictures.
Well, that's a good book for you.
Thank you, Allie.
Well, yes.
I've read big books too, you know.
I know you're going to write one. I know you're writing one.
I am. Look
as
out.
As we speak. Yeah.
Well, not as we speak, but.
No,
you are. No, you don't have
so distracted tonight.
Because I have an old-fashioned typewriter.
He's crumpling up most of the pages.
I was going to share some information with Andy for some things.
Andy, come on back in, please. Uncle, you're not going to like this.
Thanks for having me in.
No, thanks for coming in. This caller, Allie, wants to say something to you.
Okay.
I was just wondering.
Hello.
Were you saying that Magic Terry was from Boston?
Actually, I have no cans. That's technical lingo.
How about that? Say it now.
Were you saying that Magic Terry person was from Boston?
Yes.
You should check out the website Dirty Old Boston if you haven't. They have like a lot of old, like historical stuff on the city. And also there's like a documentary about this rock club in Boston from the 80s, but you never know. Like some of those people were probably boomers that opened it, but, just some things to check out if you feel so inclined.
Cool.
To
thank
make
you.
Your
I'll take a
Magic
look.
Terry documentary.
Wow.
Awesome.
How was that?
Thank you, Allie. That was sweet. And I appreciate the picture so much. Thank you.
Yes. No problem. Is there a topic, by the way?
There is, but I never got to it. I was going to ask, and I think I'm going to do it next week. I was going to say, let's design the worst rock festival ever. was going to be the topic. So you can start it off, Allie. What should be a tent at this festival?
The worst rock festival?
Yes. Like, what should be an element of what would be the worst music festival ever?
Oh, gosh. Well, I feel like the fact that it's a music festival.
But who should be playing it? Name one. Who is a bad person who could be on the bill?
Who's a bad person that could be on the bad music festival? Let's say. I can only think of an obvious person.
Who's that? Guy Fieri.
My name is Kid.
You want Kid Rock. What if it's Kid Rock
311. 311 is actually pretty good.
What if it's Kid Rock, right? But then it's him and Guy Fieri playing like acoustic.
Oh, that's
right. Just on two stools and two acoustic guitars. Wouldn't that be good? And just like really long sets. Bless you.
Thank you.
Vampire,
you,
like Mary. You did that. That's
well, what do you think would be a band that would play it, Tom?
Sorry, what's that now?
What do you think a band that would play it would be?
A band that would, the Kid Rock, Guy Fieri thing would be pretty bad. I guess I would want to see like
Chris Gaines, right?
Chris Gaines could come back. That would be awesome. The return, because Garth Brooks dusts off the old soul patch, like puts a little baby powder in it. Chris Gaines older now, a little wiser. Why did he not stick with that? Imagine if he just was just like, I don't care if you people don't like it. I'm going to keep doing this character, and I'm not stopping, and I'm going to just be this fake version of myself forever.
That'd be good.
Like every other record is literally going to be Chris Gaines.
I get another one.
Who's that now?
This is like something that would sort of be a nostalgic thing that nobody asked for, but like Milli Vanilli.
Oh,
yeah, but one of them. You like them?
Would they sing?
I have some bad news about them.
What, they're having a new album and it's not very good?
Don't break the news.
No, it's a little worse than that.
It's
they didn't.
It's only on Tidal?
Hey, I have a Tidal subscription. I'm the guy with the Tidal thing.
I have a pitch.
They just literally contact me directly now.
Okay.
Tidal. Like Jay-Z, like literally, is just like asks me if I want to hear.
What's up, Tall? Hey, so it's like, you know the guy from Avengers who's Scarlett Johansson's other friend? He's the counterpart. Who's the guy who has no power? Jeremy Renner is doing music now.
Okay, so you want to see.
That's an act.
So you want to see Jeremy Renner's band.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis' band.
Yeah.
That would be the worst thing if there was just a day of actors' bands. Yeah. Just actors' bands.
Yes.
Russell Crowe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Ethan
Hawke's band. Russell Crowe. Keanu Reeves. Plays bass. He played bass in Dog Star.
There could be a tent where you get your charger, like a phone charger tent. You know, there's like electricity tent, but it has one pole in the middle, and everybody has to kind of get close to it and be near each other.
It's just like, there's like, a
charge
outlet.
Up.
Yeah, and everybody's like really,
really close.
Yeah. And if it's like right after like some like rave tent, everybody's like all wet.
Disgusting and smelly. Yeah. It's like, charge and glitter up. You know, it's like combining the two things.
And then just, what's that?
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, I'm listening. You go ahead.
I wanted to say, like, I noticed in the last couple months there's been an influx of bad callers from Boston.
There have, yes. I don't know what that's all about.
I kind of have some theories, actually, but I wanted to apologize on behalf of
you.
My
don't
state.
Have to apologize on behalf. You look, you have other things to apologize for being from Boston. The bad callers are not one of them.
I have one thing. I'm looking at this old dirty Boston website right now, and do you want to hear a quote from Bill Russell, Cavanelli Basketball?
Sure. What's the quote? Boston sucks.
He said he called the city of Boston a flea market of racism.
There you go. So you can just go and get a lot of it, and it's pretty easy to get your hands on. It's pretty affordable. Yeah.
What's a more eloquent quote?
What's the most embarrassing thing from Boston? What makes you completely embarrassed to be from Boston?
I think that band
Mighty Bosstones.
No, are you going to go to that festival, Crankin' and Skankin'?
Which one? Well, you don't like that band, right? That's the one that drives you nuts?
Oh, no, I like them. I liked them back in the day.
Okay.
Tom, I'm the one, and this is a shout out to Mary Houlihan. I'm the one that, I was in a Rancid cover band last year, 2018.
Okay. How'd that go?
But Mary was on a podcast defending them.
I like Rancid.
So
okay, nobody's so saying you can't.
I'm all over the place. Sorry, Tom.
Well, that's all right. People. I got to take other calls though because the show's winding down, Allie. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. All right, Mike. What's the worst thing from Minnesota? What is a blight on you saying you're from Minnesota? Is there a person or a thing? What is it that?
Oh, I don't know. We've got a lot of good exports.
You. Well, what's one that you just like?
I mean, we have a lot of racism,
mm-hmm.
but food is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Jesse Ventura, maybe.
Okay.
But I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't feel like that's that bad.
Yeah. When he won the governorship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like confused at first, and I thought it was Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh,
I was
right.
like, wait, that dude
what?
Is the governor thing?
Yeah. And then like, you were like, oh, well, wait.
I was like, oh, no,
it's, no,
other
it's his other wrestler that makes total sense now.
I thought it was going to be like.
And it's not weird at all.
Oh, yeah. The governor of the state now.
Yeah. And then instead it's like, oh, yeah, I'm the governor of the state
it's
now.
Exactly. Rather than the guy's like, I'm trying to do this. Like,
yeah. That's
so that was a rough one.
Yeah, but I don't think that's something that. Yeah, I don't know. I think Minnesota's pretty cool.
All right. That's all.
Sorry.
It's not a rigged thing.
Sorry, it's a gotcha. I know about you and your gotcha question.
Yeah, it's just a gotcha show. Gotcha. Mike, check that off.
I have to go, though.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
To get up early.
Oh, no, you have to go. Well, I appreciate you making the time and coming by.
It means so much that you asked me to be here.
Of course. I've been looking forward to I did your show. It was so nice of you to have me on, and I wanted to repay it because you're super funny. Thank you, Alice.
Thank you so much, Tom. Right. And thank you, everybody listening, for being not from Boston, except for the ones who are from Boston.
Yes.
And if you are from Boston, try to make it more of a fun city to do comedy in if you can. Okay, guys.
All right. Good have a great night. Okay. You guys talk. I'm going to say goodbye.
Sure.
You're the host now, Mary.
Okay.
You're the captain.
What's up? You are listening to the best show. We are on hour three. And... you know, I have a lot of questions about this Woodstock business.
Well, hit me. I mean, don't actually hit me. The bird.
The bird Woodstock?
Oh, the Peanuts bird.
What are your feelings on?
He's a benign little fellow. He's kind of nice. I think somebody pointed out to me the other day, he had actually appeared in the strip for a number of years before they named him Woodstock. He was just some nameless bird that used to hang out with Snoopy.
Just real quick, Alice is going to plug her shows tomorrow. Sorry to go off the thing.
Sorry, guys. I like that fact about Woodstock. So. I'm going to be at the Philly Punchline Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Only 3 shows. So please come out and see me. We're going to have a great time together. You and me.
Okay. Thank you.
Yay.
All right, now you can go back to the thing. You're the host again, Mary.
So, very interesting. So Woodstock didn't have a name.
No, it was just some bird. Wait, so tell me more about Rancid.
Oh, do you like Rancid or?
I tolerate them. I'm okay with Rancid. I have no philosophical problem with Rancid.
Sure. I really liked them when I was, I guess, in junior high. And... I sewed their patches on my clothing. I tore out pictures of them from Guitar World magazine and put them on my walls. And I would learn tabs to their songs.
Wow.
And I had a crush on Tim Armstrong, the singer. And I would read their lyrics on lyrics websites. And I was just a freak for them.
So you've got like a whole dossier on Rancid.
Yes, but I sort of, I didn't keep up with them.
And the clothing? What happened to the clothing with the patches and stuff?
Probably at Goodwill, I guess.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So some lucky person has been flogging that stuff on eBay because they found it at Goodwill and rare, one-of-a-kind, Rancid clothing?
No, probably Hot Topic, 1 million of a kind.
All right. So,
can I say one thing about Rancid?
Yes.
I do like that there's a band out there that talks that much about traveling on buses. It's not really a rock band that talks about. They have like at least 5 songs. No, not even tour life. Just riding public transportation.
Oh, I guess you're right.
I don't think any other band has talked about riding a bus as public transportation.
They talk about
that much.
The train also.
Yeah, that's true. Yellow City Train.
That's right.
Okay.
That's a great one.
I think we learned something.
Yeah.
We really did.
It's very exciting. Now, let me just finish a couple things I need to say. I did the thing the other night. I wanted to tell everybody, if you want to see, I think it goes on demand probably this weekend, is the movie Sword of Trust. It was the Lynn Shelton, new Lynn Shelton movie. And I got to do a Q&A with Lynn and the star of the movie, Marc Maron, the other night. And it was, the movie's really funny. It's legitimately funny, and it's got Michaela Watkins in it and Jillian Bell and Marc Maron, and his acting is legitimately great, and I was really blown away by it, and it's very funny. So when you can watch it on demand, you should go watch it, and if it's in a theater, go see it in the theater. But it's a really good movie, and I had a good time doing that with them and wanted to tell everybody to just watch the movie.
What's it called?
Sword of Trust.
Of Trust.
Yes.
I'm going to watch it.
And it's a movie. It's about a sword that the Jillian Bell inherits a sword from her kind of grandfather, her kind of crazy racist-ish grandfather who... And it's the pedigree of the sword is that the South won the the South won the Civil War, so it plays into people wanting it for its historical relevance. I never said it was smart. I'm really not smart.
You're a genius.
It doesn't mean I'm smart though. It just that stuff. Thank you. First of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
But it just is. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I can't turn that off. Mm-hmm. It's like a broken faucet. You know what it's like at 3 in the morning to hear the show playing in my own head?
Good? Bad?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Crazy making?
I'm the only one that I can't hang up on. Who's good here, Mike? Line two. Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Jamie from Memphis.
Jamie from Memphis. How's things in Memphis tonight?
Really rainy.
It's a rainy night in Memphis. It sounds like a song, right?
I'm sure it probably is a song. So, is there anybody else there that I should say hello to?
Well, Mary Houlihan is here and hello. Andy Zaks is here.
Hello.
Hi, y'all.
What's up?
Hiya.
Just got off work, and I wanted to call the best show to tell a funny story.
Let's hear it.
Well, before I do, I wanted to ask you a quick favor. I hit my head last night, and I'm worried I have a mild concussion. So when the story is done, will you let me know if I seem concussy?
Okay.
Yeah, yes. Sure. We'll all vote on it.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, so this is a secondhand story, but it's really relevant to Best Show stuff. I have a regular customer where I work, and he told me this anecdote about how he was at the Barnes & Noble, or a Barnes & Noble out in, I think, L.A.,
mm-hmm.
And he was in the men's room, and there was no toilet paper, and so I guess he was leaving the stall because it was of no use to him. And as he was leaving the stall, he saw Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Caine went into the stall without the toilet paper. And at first, he didn't really think anything of it. But then he realized that Michael Caine didn't just come right back out. So he gets concerned for him, you know, because he thinks, well, Michael Caine doesn't realize there's no toilet paper. And so perhaps inadvisably, he decides to start knocking on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Michael Caine loses his mind screaming at him and actually even apparently uses the line, "Have you no decency, sir?" And he's like, you know, the guy's trying to explain that there's no toilet paper. And Michael Caine just starts basically calling for help. And so the guy has to flee.
Look, if this is true, I'm going to say your friend is not a good guy. I'm sorry. Right?
Well, you're just a customer.
How can you not side with Michael Caine on this story?
I mean, you got to just grab a wad of paper and then you
put
it down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would totally think
knocking
what
on
Caine
the door?
Thought.
Come
knocking,
on.
Thanks,
Michael but. Caine's getting bugged enough by people. Now he thinks some guy wants an autograph?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you sound concussed, but I'm not a doctor. You should go get checked out by a doctor because concussions can reveal themselves later. They don't immediately reveal themselves necessarily.
Right.
Also,
I was feeling some symptoms, I thought, during my work shift tonight.
Yeah. Well,
I think your friend is exaggerating because I feel like if Michael Caine was yelling at me and then I was trying to explain to him, I was just in that stall and it didn't have toilet paper, I feel like Michael Caine would immediately be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think he would continue yelling.
No.
I also feel that if Michael Caine was mad at you, he wouldn't quote the guy from the Joseph McCarthy hearing. Yeah. He'd revert to some kind of Cockney slang.
Yeah.
You know, that he'd get mad at you that way. He wouldn't it wouldn't be this.
No, I'm with the room here. Your friend blew it. Not a fan of your friend.
Yeah,
sorry.
I want to hear Michael Caine's
Once again, you're not really my friend anyway, just a customer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're a regular customer.
You were getting so braggy about him, now you're walking it back.
It's a certain sense of shame there.
I didn't brag.
Yeah. You know what, maybe bragged. You do have a brain injury.
Yeah, seek medical attention if symptoms worsen. Yes.
All right, well, thanks just for the call. Thanks for the better. Call. All right, bye.
Okay, have a good night.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
Good. It's Evan in Vancouver.
What's going on tonight, Devin?
Oh, it's Evan, but not much. Just listening to you guys carry on and talk good things. Hello, Mary. Hello, Andy.
Hi.
Hiya.
I just thought, so I'm not big on social media, but I happened to scroll through a couple of music videos or live performances. One of Rage Against the Machine, I'm not sure where, but one was of Limp Bizkit at Woodstock. So,
now that's a good thing. When can we, thank you, I'm going to put you on hold for a second, Devin. When are you going to do the Woodstock 99 box?
I think, you know, I'm hoping to be retired from Woodstockology about 15 minutes after the 50th anniversary ends.
No, see, I think there's nobody better for it than you.
True, which is why I'm going to try to shirk it with all of my might.
Like, Devin, thank you for reminding
Devin,
me of that. So you watched a Rage Against the Machine performance at Woodstock 99, right? And how was that?
Here's it.
Right?
In 1999, in context, it's horrible, but in 2019, it's actually relevant to see the performance and the engaging with the audience and people being...
Yep. I'm into more of that stuff at this point than I should be.
It's alive. Like, it was actually really compelling because which reminded me how sad the state of music is, and that's why I'm wanting to reach out to you guys because... Like, when do we see another sort of zeitgeist or a festival or something, a musical revolution that would sort of trigger everybody to being on this, you know, on a cultural movement? Do we have any hopes for that?
We do. We do. I think Woodstock 2020 is going to be great. It's going to be, I'm putting the bill together. It's Five Finger Death Punch. It's Power Man 5000, Disturbed, Stained, of course, Limp Bizkit, Korn, Avenged Sevenfold. Who am I missing?
Oh, I think you're missing Jesse Camp and the 8th Street Kids.
No, I don't. No, this is not a joke. It's going to be a new metal. No. Well, thank you for the call, Devin.
Unnamed, yeah, thanks, Tom.
Bye. Andy, I want you to listen to this and tell me. You've heard Jimi Hendrix. I'm sure when you worked on this, you heard his.
Sure.
He did the Star Spangled Banner, which
sure.
was part of the thing.
He did.
Now, which do you think is better? You know the Jimi Hendrix one. What do you think of? This is one from Woodstock 99. This is Wyclef Jean doing it. Have you heard this?
I have not.
Well, sit back and relax.
Okay.
Here we go.
This is for my man, Jimi Hendrix. Turn up the guitar. At this time, you are free to throw your plastic bottles when I start this record. Hold on. You are free to smoke your weed when I drop this record. Turn my guitar up loud, loud, loud. How many of y'all there love Nas Escobar? Make some noise.
I just want to say, he's playing a brand new guitar that still has a sticker on it, and partway through it, the guy will run over with lighter fluid and squirt it on the guitar
no.
while he's playing it still, and then they cannot light it. Is there any room to get this at the last second, a 39th disc of just this?
You know, I'll call the guys in licensing and see if maybe we can set something up. But to me and tell me that this is, we're listening to Jandek, so that then
no,
I could maybe feel slightly better about this.
No, 400,000 people saw this.
Oh.
In front of them.
Oh.
Can you tell which one this is? Is this Hendrix or Wyclef Jean?
Sound Hendrix-y, at least. I mean, I, you, yeah, no, that's just
wow.
all. You can't really, no. you can't front that much longer.
But you should do a Woodstock 99 box.
You think?
Yeah.
You think anybody really
it.
Wants that?
Yeah.
I think there's a single
I
person on
I do.
Me.
You would buy it.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Break your face tonight.
Okay, so I think that, you know, if we did that, though.
It's all about the he said, she said.
But then it would kind of be just for you, Tom. So it would have to cost, I mean, like, you know, if you're willing to lay out like $100,000 for this thing. I mean, we
people
could...
would want this. That's the real Woodstock. Peace and love. What's that? This is the most that's the most American Woodstock ever.
You don't want the Woodstock 50 box of Michael Lang giving press conferences?
No, I don't want the one where it's just audio of somebody explaining
yeah.
why they
yeah,
lost
no, that's the really real stuff. That's going to bring it to life for
Woodstock
you.
Woodstock 99 is the most American Woodstock of all the Woodstocks.
More than 94?
It's where my parents met.
At Woodstock 99.
Yeah.
It's very romantic.
Wow.
It was very romantic.
That's poignant.
That mm-hmm. day on that Air Force base.
Mm-hmm.
Where
do you want to know where I was conceived?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Ozfest.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Let's take two more calls, then we'll say goodnight to everybody. You're... Best show, hi. That's what's waiting for you in Edinburgh, people of Scotland.
Hey, Tom. It's Jessica from Ithaca.
Jessica from Ithaca, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful.
I've got
someone for your music festival, first off.
Okay, and we're going to do this in, this will be a full show of designing the worst music festival. We will do this. We didn't even scratch the surface on it now, but let's hear it. Who do you have?
Sex Pistols got to be really high up, like performing today.
Like a reunited Sex Pistols now.
Yes.
That would be, yeah. I love watching every one of the Sex Pistols now, and it just makes me completely question the worth of the Sex Pistols. We're just like, you know, it's kind of only one record.
Yeah,
other people kind of did do it earlier and better.
And like PIL, you know, at least they have like enough material to sort of do a whole concert.
Yeah. Got to watch these guys do, because last time I saw them, they just did a medley of contemporary
hits. Well, maybe Malcolm McLaren can come out and do some rap.
He could come out and do Madam Butterfly. Mm-hmm. He's not with us
anymore. If he weren't dead.
He died.
Oh, right.
The late, great, well, he could get a hologram.
Yeah,
he would appreciate that. If anybody would appreciate the idea that there was a hologram of him, it would be Malcolm McLaren.
That'd be the one guy. It would be postmodern enough that would actually make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to see one of these hologram shows. I want to see that Dio hologram thing where they play and the band is like the actual Dio band and they're playing it and he's just like singing, like it's like a Dio hologram. When I see lightning, right? You know what? Oh, that brings me down. That would be the greatest. Wouldn't that be the greatest? Dio hologram for the four songs they have of they filmed of him. Just kind of like, we're going to play for a while. Then we'll turn the hologram on. Then we'll play a little more. Then we'll do two more with the hologram. Then we're going to jam out. Final song will be Rainbow in the Dark with the hologram. Admittedly, we're a little light on hologram footage of Dio. Could you imagine that Zappa hologram thing?
Can you imagine Zappa in a motion cap suit?
Yeah, and he actually did that. He actually did that thing where he filmed himself so that they could use it for something. You go to this thing and you're going to watch a hologram belittle you for coming to see him in concert. A hologram made me feel bad. A hologram made me feel stupid for not knowing enough about Edward Varese. However you say his name.
It's just a hologram operator to do real-time insults.
Say that again, Jessica?
There's just a hologram operator doing real-time insults.
Yeah, real-time insults of people who don't know enough about modern classical music. Yeah, and people who want to hear him play songs from his albums. Could you imagine? You want me to play a song from one of the albums I recorded? How dare you?
That's insulting.
How dare
you? As an artist,
I cannot believe you would come to see me perform and you would expect or want, have any notion that I would perform a song from one of the albums I released.
I need to grow as an artist. I need experimentation. Yes.
So here's a song about
canvas.
And here's a song about a urinal. A 35-minute song about a urinal. I need to grow, people. All right. Thank you, Jessica.
Of course.
Have a great night. Bye. Final call. Best show. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Tom?
Yeah.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I originally called in about a comment about Jesse Ventura. Is it past its time?
No. You say what you want. What do you want to say?
Well, you were talking about the Jesse Ventura thing, and I just wanted to, it just brought to mind this weird, like, made-for-TV movie, like, written, directed, and starring Jesse Ventura about becoming governor and, like, overcoming some hurdle that really wasn't real. But, like, anyway, like, there's a love scene in it, and it's, like, him and his like, real-life wife, and it's just really strange and awkward, and I don't know.
I'll check
it out. I thought
I'd
call in and tell
you. I would watch it. You actually sold this movie to me.
It's really gross. So, yeah.
I consider me intrigued.
All right.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
So, Mary Houlihan, mm-hmm. what's next for you? When do you go to Scotland? When do you go to Edinburgh?
I leave on July 30th.
July 30th. Mm-hmm. And then you're there for the month of August. Mm-hmm. And people can find out more about you for that stuff and for your new show, CEO Skyscraper, which starts on Thursday.
This Thursday.
All four episodes mm-hmm. get dropped
mm-hmm.
over at hatched.nyc. That's right.
Well, do you want to know what else they should watch?
What's that?
They should watch the new Viceland show, Danny's House, which premieres tomorrow. But my episode, I don't think, is until next week. So
now, what
you
is
don't
have Danny's
to watch
house? What is Danny's House?
Well, it's the incredible new show, executive produced by Derek Beckles and starring the rapper Danny Brown.
Danny Brown. I knew you were going to say Danny Brown.
And I play his neighbor in two of the episodes, unless I get cut from one or both.
Is it funny?
It is funny. And he was really, 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 really nice.
Mm-hmm. And Derek Beckles, I like.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Was he a nice guy?
Delightful.
Yes.
I had a blast.
Good. Mm-hmm. So you've just got to say it's a surplus of a Houlihan.
It's my big summer.
Well, thank you for coming in, Mary.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
You're a genius.
Thank you, Mary. Basketball coach George Karl once said, mm-hmm. the losses keep me up all night. The wins don't even take me to the parking lot anymore.
That's how I feel.
Is it how you feel?
Yeah.
Yeah. That just, you think about that. I think he summed the whole thing up with that. Andy Zaks.
Tom Sharpling.
We're not talking about defeat when it comes to you. We're talking about nothing but victory because you realized a decade plus long, mission by producing, multiple Woodstock box sets, including a mammoth 38 disc.
38 discs, yes.
And it has all of the audio, exempting one version of Teenager in Love.
Formerly by Dion and the Belmonts.
Why do I want that so bad now?
I do too. I like that song.
But isn't it amazing? All you have to say is like, that's not on it. And I'm just like, man, I gotta hear that version of Teenager in Love.
You know, it's funny. I didn't even know about this until maybe 3-4 months ago, and they told me about it. And ever since, people have been kind of going like, "So, what about the Sha Na Na song?" Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously some gravitational force that Sha Na Na has to this day. I'm not even quite sure why. It just maybe because they seem unlikely. Why were they there?
You know,
people want to know.
People want the thing. There are 85. Jerry Lewis movies waiting for you at any point, and no one goes within a mile of them. But this guy takes one movie and doesn't release it, and people would chop their hand off to see it. But you want bad Jerry Lewis movies? There's a surplus of them. They're just waiting for you. Anytime you want them, they're there for you. But everybody wants the one terrible one that they can't get. And I want now. Teenager in Love by Sha Na Na is going to be like, guys, we got to find this thing. Andy, look, he did a great job with this thing.
I carried the ball as far as I could.
We're going to punch it in. We're going to punch it in out of into the end zone. He got us right to the one. He got us right to the 1 yard line. We're punching it in though. We're finding the Teenager in Love and the two songs with Jimi Hendrix's buddy. His army buddy. People want that one thing. What is next, though, for you? You've spent so long on this. Is there anything else coming down the pike?
What is next? Well, a lot of airplanes and rental cars for the next couple of weeks until we get through the anniversary. And then sleep. Lots and lots of sleep.
Good for you.
Although in the meantime, I would say, can I plug Lisa Jane Persky's latest
I wish
exciting
I could say yes.
thing?
Okay.
No, of course
you can. No, Lisa,
I'm a law-abiding citizen.
One of my favorite people.
Thursday night, citizens of the tri-state area may encounter Lisa Jane Persky at Gallery 72 on the Lower East Side. She has a photograph in a Roberta Bailey, legendary punk photographer, Roberta Bailey curated show of photography featuring Roberta's stuff and Lisa's stuff. I think Danny Fields, a couple of other interesting folks. Might be fun.
Okay. That sounds great. And people can always find your about what you're up to. You're on Twitter at Andy.
A-N-D-Y-Z-A-X.
And they can find all about it there.
Definitely. And please do.
And thank you for coming in, and congratulations on getting to the finish line on something that is as monumental as what you achieved.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here.
Well, it's so nice to have you here. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And once again, I want to say, Laura Michaels, you will be missed, and rest in peace. And it's a very sad thing, and condolences to Missy and all the family. And The Best Show will be back next week. And I'm going to end it by just playing the wind. We'll just, that's how we'll end the show. Hold on. Why is it not playing? Wait. Where is it? Oh, that's why. Now, never mind. There we go. That's how we end it. Good night.